you! Fuck you and fuck you!
Who's next?
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen! This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio! You better all listen!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Radio! Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
That's Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look what that got you on. Fuck that. Black me out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Worms cannot fucking keep this from the public, but they're fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. It is March 1st, 2012, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Jay. How you been today?
Chilling. Same old, another day, another show. This is what's popping.
I'm excited, like always.
Yeah. I should have a guest on shortly. Besides that, do you have a lot of different things to talk about? Upcoming CZW show, the Raw that just went down. All sorts of different things. Shit, man, they got a Ring of Honor show this weekend, or a couple of the motherfuckers. I don't know. They're running like a million shows per month, so I don't know.
Real quick, though.
Yeah.
Do you have TNA on, as always?
Yeah, I do. I see Kurt Angle.
Had to ask.
He's reading off of cue cards. I don't know where to go with that. I mean, that's... You're going to get people tuning out of this show in the first 2 seconds if you start talking about TNA right now. Kurt Angle's reading off a cue card. So if you guys are bored with what we're saying already, you might want to watch Kurt Angle read off the cue cards. And, you know, there's always that. Well, a lot of different things to get into. Don't know where to start. Because as mentioned, I am kind of waiting on a guest. So... I don't want to get too deep into anything else, you know, Raw or any of those different things.
I got the Chikara. I got one show from Chikara for results. You want me to do that real quick?
Sure. Let's do that.
So this is the show in Reading. It was February 25th, 2012, in Reading, Pennsylvania. They had a 2-day show, but somehow I went on like a bunch of websites and only found one of the shows. And maybe during the show, I'll try to find it somewhere. The opening contest saw Ophidian versus Green Ant. Ophidian wins by submission at 10:59. Next up is a bonus match as El Hijo de Ice Cream takes on Saturain. And Saturain gets the victory. Saturain is actually a women's wrestler. She's relatively new. She's a student
and she
from Chicago.
An ice cream?
Yeah, one of those ice creams.
A lot of women battle with their struggles with ice cream. You know, sometimes it leads down to, you know, obesity. Sometimes they get very upset about their day and they bury it in ice cream. You know, they'll go all out on, you know, a couple of them Ben and Jerry joints, or, you know, just stick a spoon right in a, you know, full sizer, you know, full family sized ice cream joint and just go to town. Fucking go to the Wawa in their fucking sweatpants, pick up a big ass thing of ice cream, back home, spoon, start a top in the garbage because they know they ain't putting that shit back in the freezer. Yeah.
Next up, we saw tag team action as Cetrine.
Oh, okay, so she won her battle with the ice cream. That's awesome.
Next up was a tag team match between the Colony of Soldier Ant and Fire Ant, taking on the Throwbacks of Dasher Hatfield, who's a baseball player, and Mr. Touchdown, Mark Angelocito.
Who's a football player?
Yeah, who's a football player. Green Ant comes in and attacks Dasher Hatfield, causing the Colony to be disqualified. So that's kind of weird for, you know, the Colony are good guys and Throwbacks are good guys and, you know, causing DQ is not good.
No.
In the next match, the big rig Brody Lee took on Jigsaw, and Brody Lee gets the win at 8:36 with a sit-out powerbomb and makes it known that he's coming for the Grand Championship in Canada. And I'm pretty sure they announced Eddie Kingston versus Brody Lee for Canada. So that should be good.
All right. I thought I read something somewhere that they have like a. It was supposed to be Vin Gerard, and he's supposed to fight Kingston in like a career versus.
It was the next night. It was the next night. I'm trying to find results for that, but like I said, the website that I go to only gave me the Reading show, so. I'm looking for it as we speak, but back from intermission, Cobalt takes on Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana defeats Cobalt by submission with the Billy Goat Curse. Match number 6 is 8-man tag.
He didn't beat a goat with the Goat Curse move, right?
No. He beat
a goblin.
That would
be something.
Eight-man tag action
as Barry and goats with
ice cream?
No, the Billy Goat Curse move would be
okay.
Like the goat killer, you know? He's got a move specially tailored for like a whole section of wrestlers that dress a certain way, so I figure, you know.
Next match is a 8-man tag with Oberyn and Kodama the Batiri, Tim Donson, Jacob Hammenheimer, as they took on Gregory Iron 3.0 and Eddie Kingston. Tim Donson makes Gregory Iron pass out at 19:01 with a chokehold.
Speaking of fat bitches going to Wawa in sweatpants, in another inappropriately dressed fucking outing, Jeff Hardy's just now coming to the ring in a white T-shirt. Just fucking just plain-ass white T-shirt. No frills. We're just going to come out. What do you want, Angle? Fuck your nose cards. I have a white T-shirt. All right. Yeah.
The next match, Archibald Peck takes on Sara Del Rey. Sara Del Rey defeats Archibald Peck at 16:29 with the Royal Butterfly Lock.
All right.
In the main event, Hollow Wicked and Ultra Mantis Black took on Team Fist, which, of course, is Chuck Taylor and Icarus. And Icarus and Chuck Taylor retained their gold and beat them. Beat Mantis and Fist. Or Mantis and Hollow Wicked.
Chuck Taylor did
after
that?
Delirious, after Delirious seemingly came out to assist Icarus. So, that's setting something up there for that.
All right.
So that's the Chikara show.
Yeah, it is. That's what they do.
I'm going to look for the, I don't know what the hell, PW Ponderings doesn't have the New York show. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know where the fuck this guy is. Jesus Christ. So, we'll see. We'll hang on for a little bit. And if not, you know, we'll get into some of the other larger topics or whatever. But, you know.
Right.
In the meantime, let me see. Well, let's, Yeah, I guess let's just jump into the Briscoes promo real quick, because I, you know, can never get enough of those guys, and they got a show coming up over the weekend, and I thought, once again, they nailed this promo like only the Briscoes can, so we'll throw this, and hopefully we'll have some stuff lined up when we get back.
Reach for the sky, boy. Oh, shit! Sunday night, baby, New York City, the big ROH 10-year anniversary. Shit's going down. 10 years, baby. Man, it's crazy when you think about it. It's been 10 years already. Seems like just yesterday I was wrestling Amazing Red. But you know how the old saying goes. Time flies when you whooping ass. The boy been whooping ass for 10 years now. We can sit here and tell you how we've been whooping ass for 10 years. Like Samoa Joe ass, CM Punk ass, Brian Daniel ass, Chris Daniel ass, Homicide ass. Another such ass is Brian Kendrick, Evan Bourne, Mitch Franklin, Paul London, AJ Styles. But we don't got time for that
now. Ain't no time for all that. Ain't no time to sit back and reminisce. We'll do that shit when we old and retired. Ain't no time to be reminiscing, because in case y'all can't tell, the Briscoes is on a warpath right now. And we mowing down anybody to get in the way. And it just so happens that the Young Bucks, y'all boys right in the line of fire. But when I see the Young Bucks, man, I can't help but think, y'all look like two little girls, man. Y'all look like two pretty little girls. And when I see two pretty little girls, being the gentleman that I am, I write them a poem. So here's to y'all, Young Bucks. Roses is red, violets is blue. The Young Bucks got long pretty hair like a girl do. So Sunday in New York, we're going to have to make them our bitches. And y'all probably going to go back to California with stitches. Now, if y'all can't be in New York to watch us make them girls scream and holler, you can order that sumbitch on pay-per-view. It's only $10. Go fight live.tv, baby. Big 10-year anniversary. You don't want to miss this shit. I promise you. That was beautiful.
Yeah. There you go, the Briscoe. My favorite part is when you Daniel Bryan, Chris Daniel, there's no Daniel's son, there's no Daniels, just Bryan Daniel, Chris Daniel. Those guys are fucking awesome. I love that shit. So yeah.
They're fucking awesome.
Yeah, you know it. So, yeah, I don't know where our guest is for this week. Don't know. Yeah, Nina's saying in the chat. He doesn't even say ass. He doesn't. He just goes, Brian Daniel, Chris Daniel. That motherfucker's
hilarious. Kevin Bourne. Mitch Franklin.
Kevin Bourne. So, yeah. Well, I figure I'll put out there to everybody that our next week's guest is pretty big. And next week's guest will be Uha Nation. And 2 days before CZW, he'll be on Yakuza Kick Radio, and he'll be tearing it up, main event on that Aerial Assault pay-per-view. As far as I know, it's the main event. And, yeah, man, we're definitely going to get into that card. This week we'll go into it again next week. We'll play a bunch of the promos next week and all that stuff. I guess we could do the Raw thing.
Okay.
You got
And if we get cut off, we'll just go to we'll just come back to it.
Right.
Okay. Alrighty. Any pre-Raw thoughts?
Pre-Raw thoughts?
Yeah.
What's that?
Before we go into like the whole thing, you know, just a quick little summary of what, you know, maybe we should do that. A quick summary. Or do you just want to go right into it?
Yeah, just go into it, because I got enough. See, I don't want to just say the dude's name and shit. I'll type it in the chat room, because if he doesn't come on, then it's like, oh, fuck that guy. And I ain't trying to be like that.
Right, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so Raw started off, and I fucking was fired up for this shit. Fucking, they announced this fucking Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk to open up the show. I was fucking going nuts. So CM Punk comes out, fucking, you know, does his entrance. They go to commercial break, and they come back, and Punk's, you know, still in the ring with his music, and Chris Jericho comes out. And Punk and Jericho have a fucking awesome exchange of, you know, of words. Punk basically said that, you know, that Jericho's bitching about, oh, that he's the best in the world. But, you know, Punk said that, you know, Bret Hart used to say that before Jericho. And he was pretty much mocking the fact that Jericho said that before anybody. So, he said that he's, you know, Jericho considers himself the best in the world, but Punk considers himself the best wrestler in the world. So, you know, and that's pretty much, they were going at it, and, you know.
This was a good promo segment. I liked it. I thought it was definitely the promo segment of the night. It's honestly, you know, this is the angle that I'm looking at. I'm not fucking worried about the other one that I'll get to when we get to it, because it doesn't need any more fucking airtime than it fucking needs to, because for Christ's sakes, if we're not getting grounded in that fucking thing, then I don't know what. But, honestly, I think Jericho is actually surprisingly, and now I'm nitpicking and all that, but, like, I honestly think Jericho's coming up a little short on this one. I kind of expected more out of Jericho, you know, with his gimmick and his, you know, his promo skills and everything. I mean, he just keeps going back to, you copied me, but, like, I think he's got more in the tank than just keeping on fucking repeating that, just regurgitating that bullshit line, and, you know, I don't know. I just, it's nitpicking because it's still the best fucking thing, and then, you know, it's still the best thing promo-wise that's going on in the WWE, so I'm not,
right.
You know.
Yeah, they went crazy. I loved it. And then Daniel Bryan comes out. And the match was, you know, it was hard-hitting.
Bryan Daniel ass.
Daniel Bryan ass. Bryan Daniel ass. Yeah. But that match was, it was hard-hitting and, you know, for what it was, you know, for a short match. And my problem with this match is the commentary on this match. Because the whole fucking match, they had fucking Laurinaitis and fucking Teddy Long, and they must have showed him like 20 times. All right, not 20 times, but like more like 10 times. And they kept showing them, and nobody gives a shit about them. You know? What the fuck? Like, they're making a match that should be good into their fucking own segment. And I thought it was stupid and it pissed me off. And I think that this whole nobody cares about this Laurinaitis Teddy Long bull crap. Nobody cares. Do you care, Jay?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
I got annoyed, though, when they kept going back to, you know, they were doing some good stuff, and then all of a sudden back to freaking, you know, showing them and missing, you know, missing stuff. And I was like, fuck, this is gay. And then this whole fucking dumb shit where Daniel Bryan went to go get counted out. Sheamus throws him in, and Punk gets him with the go to sleep. And then Laurinaitis says, no, you know, that didn't, you know, cancel the thing, you know. Because he was saying that to the ref. He's like, oh, fucking, you know, Sheamus threw him in. It was such a fucking stupid segment. I was kind of pissed. What was your thought?
Yeah, they keep doing that. And, I mean, this match was pretty good, but I thought, you know, as good as this match was and stuff, you know, they've had a couple other matches that I thought went well, too. And, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it definitely takes away from the match when you got the whole shit more or less surrounding Laurinaitis and Teddy Long, and it's no longer even about the two hugely talented guys in the fucking ring. So it definitely takes a little bit of attention away from that, and it's unneeded. You know, this whole Laurinaitis and Teddy Long thing, Teddy Long's entertaining to me, and Laurinaitis is not. Obviously, he's a heel, so he's not supposed to be everyone's favorite, but I don't know. I just don't really think that an angle needs to be surrounded this guy. Like, he's been like a current fucking angle and a main event angle when it comes right on down to it, because he's overshadowing and interjecting himself, his face, his voice, his personality into the main event picture. And it's annoying.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
After that, Kelly Kelly defeated Nikki Bella in a short women's match. Nobody gave a shit about that match.
No one cares.
John Cena defeated The Miz. It was okay. Miz just, Miz came out before the match and complained that he's not having a spot at WrestleMania this year, which I think he will end up having a spot, but, you know, I don't think it's going to be a big spot. And then they showed The Rock watching backstage after the match, and nobody didn't really care about that.
Oh, everyone cares.
Oh, well, I'm glad you care.
No, I don't care about everybody else.
Okay. But then they had a three-way tag with Epico and Primo, and they retained the belts over Ziggler and Swagger, and I don't know why they're doing this R-Truth Kingston tag team.
This was just a three-way race war, just the way I saw it. you had a white team. You had the Spanish, Puerto Rican representatives, you know, you had the Latino team, and then you had the black team. And, you know, they didn't break gimmick one time on it's not like they had a mixed team. Hey, you had two white guys, two black dudes, two Latin dudes, and that's what you got. That's it. Fucking three-way race war. Who won the race war? I forget. I was too busy laughing at the concept of this nonsense. There you go.
Epico and Primo.
There you go. Kings of the Barrio. That's what happens.
And then
they're
after the match,
tag
Kane
game,
comes
right?
out. Yeah, and then after the match, Kane came out and beat the crap out of Ziggler. He pretty much took out everybody.
They got Matt Morgan doing a direct auto insurance commercial.
My really?
Guess is that they picked him to do that because, you know, half of the other TNA fucking roster has DUIs and they're probably not going to promote fucking auto insurance on fucking drunken drivers. So, I guess that's why Kurt Angle didn't get that nod or fucking, you know, half of these other guys that they got going on in TNA. I see.
Oh, my God.
Just random things I see when I'm watching TNA out of the corner of my eye. Yeah.
then David Otunga come, you know, David Otunga and Lauren Ice are backstage, and fucking Theodore Long comes back in there, and fucking we're going at it, and blah, nobody gave two fucks about that. Sorry. But, no, I don't care. I bet you don't care either.
No.
Like we were saying before. And then another part of Raw that I kind of didn't really give two craps about is Eve Torres came out.
Oh, she's such a phenomenal actor.
Yeah. She's beyond bad.
What did she have to say?
She pretty much said that men shouldn't, you know, that men are like puppies begging for attention. All the men want her. She can't, you know, they can't resist her, blah, blah, blah. And such a fucking stupid shit. She blew a fucking kiss and left. And
what you just
you know, came
said
back
is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
Right.
You know what's crazy? I wish they would play that during while she was talking.
I know. Just cut her mic
on Raw,
and start playing that. Yeah.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
Either that or
her
definitely one of my favorites would easily be.
You're all a bunch of dumb cunts.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
somebody
love that
would get
one.
Fired. Somebody would get fired over that.
Well, I mean, I don't value these people's jobs that much, so that's fine. I mean, I would go with that one. Now, if they said, hey, listen, you could use anyone but that one. You could use any drop. You could use anything you want, just not that one. I'd say, okay, I got you.
Motherfucking whores!
And I'd go with that one. But, you know, what can you do?
But after that, another match that I kind of want to forget about is Sheamus and Big Show defeated Cody Rhodes and Mark Henry. Cody Rhodes just walks out during this match. And, it was bleh. It was bad.
Yeah, supposedly the whole thing is going to end up being, I think, Big Show versus Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, which is weird. Initially, I think it was supposed to be Shaq versus Big Show, which, you know, I'm a huge Shaq fan, so of course it pains me to see him stuck in the ring with the Big Show. And it's just kind of ridiculous. I mean, how much can you really do? I don't know. So, but I think the prices went back and forth and went a little higher than what WWE wanted to pay, and kind of really happy about that. So it ended up being pulled from my understanding. Brent's got a question. He just hasn't asked it yet.
And then The Rock.
Oh.
That jacket. What was your thoughts on the whole Rock thing?
Well, to answer Brent's question, Brent wanted to know if there's any way I could get brain damage on, I would say probably a 99% chance that that'll never happen. He's just not that easy to reach and not that big of a talker. So I wouldn't bank on that whatsoever. So no, it's not a bad question, but I just have a very clear answer for it because I just don't see it happening. That's all. The Rock. Okay. This fucking guy gets more credit than fucking anyone. I can't even stand it anymore. I've had enough. The thing is like the guy is one of the most corny motherfuckers I have ever heard anything out of on TV. Ever. Like, yeah, he's a WWE legend. I do understand that. Like, he used to cut killer promos and shit, and you know, he used to embarrass motherfuckers in the ring and shit like that. And, I mean, a lot of that stuff, if you get right down to it, was pretty corny then, too, but it worked because it was within the Attitude Era, and it all just kind of worked. You had people just saying a bunch of silly shit at each other. So it kind of made sense. It worked or whatever the case is, but this shit ain't working. This shit ain't doing nothing. But the motherfuckers are just like trained seals in the fucking crowd and shit, and on the goddamn internet too. And they're just bugging out, just looking, fucking just clapping and fucking marking out and this and that. This motherfucker comes out and says some dumb shit about, I like to smack John Cena with a piece of Kung Pao chicken, which, you know, one of my favorite Chinese meals, and, the pieces aren't big enough to grab and smack somebody with, for starters, like, if you want to get down to how much sense that fucking makes. Number two, that makes absolutely no sense, just on a, yeah, I mean, not like, yo, I like to fucking hit that motherfucker with a drumstick, or I like to, yeah, I mean, you know, I like to hit him with a hot slice of pizza or some shit like that. Like, it doesn't even make sense to actually hit somebody with some shit like that anyway. And just to say that shit like that is corny as fuck to me. It's like, I just like to hit him with a piece of Kung Pao chicken. That's like, he's just looking for a word that's a little bit out of the ordinary, and then he's going to say it, and then that's not the last time you're going to hear it, because he'll bring it up again, and then he called him a Kung Pao bitch. Which, again, I don't know where the fuck you're getting this random fucking coochie-coochie-coo fucking I'm talking to a fucking 2-year-old fucking talk for, you know what I mean? Like, not even a 2-year-old. My 2-year-olds understand fucking the English language better than the shit he fucking puts out there. It's just, this motherfucker's just saying a random fucking word and then, like, repeating it again and then calling him a bitch with the same word he picked before, so, you know, now here's some fruity pebbles, here's some Kung Pao chicken, oh, he's a Kung Pao fruity bitch, fruity bitch pebble. Like, oh my god, it sounds gay as shit. Like, just imagine a grown-ass man angry talking to motherfuckers like he's talking to motherfuckers in the ring. That shit sounds stupid as fuck. And there'll be a fucking t-shirt within the fucking week that says Kung Pao bitch on it or some shit. Or I'll slap you with a piece of Kung Pao chicken. Like, this motherfucker, I cannot wait for him to be back in the fucking movie with a fucking pair of fairy wings on his fucking back running around grabbing teeth from under fucking children's pillows and shit. You know what I mean? He could whisper something about fucking Kung Pao on his way out the room and shit when he's playing fucking Tooth Fairy Part 3 or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, I've had enough of this shit. Now, listen, I'm not a fucking Cena fan, but Cena is coming off as a stronger fucking promo guy. Now, what kind of fucking sense does that make when The Rock was always such a huge promo guy before? This shit is corny as hell. And he, you know, he's got to mention, I'm on Twitter. A lot of people just like, they retweeted that Kung Pao comment just now. I know I'm in the ring, but I just checked my phone, and they're actually retweeting that, oh, I'm trending. Here I go. Look at me trend. Uh-oh. Twitter handle. What's that shit? A hashtag. Hashtag Kung Pao bitch. Uh-oh. Here we go. Check me out, kids. I'm on Twitter. Like, just, it's fucking sickening to me. Like, and to think that, you know, this is, like, the headlining joint. And honestly, like, if this shit ends up being the last fucking match of the night, there's a good chance I'm shutting my motherfucking TV off, because that's clearly where I watched my, my paid-for WWE pay-per-views, because it wouldn't be called a pay-per-view otherwise. So, of course, I think I just might shut off my, legally purchased pay-per-view setup. If that's the last match of the night, I may very well bail on that shit. So I don't know. I have no interest in seeing, you know, oh, he's going for the rock bottom. Oh, it's countered. Oh, he's going for that attitude adjustment. Oh, boy. He went to run the ropes. Took his legs out. Uh-oh, the Rock's taking his elbow pad off. Oh, that Kung Pao bitch is going to get it. Like, what the fuck, man? This shit is garbage. This is so fucking corny. And that's, you know, like, it's gotten to the point where Cena is able to make fun of the Rock making fun of him. and this shit works. Like, Cena hasn't cut a good fucking promo in I don't know how fucking long, and The Rock fucking brought one out of him because The Rock is just feeding garbage to it. And then they did some kind of shit where The Rock, like, wrote a bunch of notes on his wrist, which is kind of ridiculous because I don't know if they're going to try to spin this or something and, like he needed to write that shit down. But, I mean, the guy is starring in fucking movies. I don't think that he's writing scripts on his fucking arms when he's in movies. Like, I'm pretty sure he knows how to memorize lines, let alone that corny fucking promo shit. But, you know, like, I mean, Cena said last week or whatever that, you know, The Rock has a bunch of writers to write all these jokes and shit. Well, he needs to fire, like, a whole shitload of those guys. For real, like, that shit is garbage. Fucking garbage. I can't stand it. It just... He far exceeded my lack of expectations for, you know, his performance on Raw this week. It was like, I can't fucking stand the fact that he's even going to be on. I don't give a fuck. Everyone's going to be all about this shit. And sure enough, he came on and it was fucking horrible.
Yeah, I fucking decided to watch bits and pieces of it and was like, tired of that shit.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking horrendous. Yeah, so that was all of Raw, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Rock brings ratings, I guess. I'm sure that did really, really well, right? I don't know.
Yeah. I want to know the fucking Raw rating. Just kidding.
No, I'm sure it was high, honestly. It's crazy because that's what I'm saying. It's not even like, oh, everybody booed over, everybody just sat on their hands. No, people are marking the fuck out for this garbage. And that's my biggest problem with it altogether, is, you know. You see people just fucking posting the shit out of that. The whole retweeting and trending about, oh, fuck you. Shit like this makes me hate fucking wrestling fans. You know? It's just certain shit that I'm into and other shit that they just decide, oh, you know what? I'm going to make wrestling the corniest fucking thing you could possibly enjoy in the world. And, wow, that was a horrible, horrible spot.
What was it?
Well, yeah, Jesus Christ. Madison Rain in there with fucking ODB. ODB okay. In the one corner. You got Madison Rain down in the opposite corner. No, more or less, like, you know, where, you know, she's sitting down in the corner like she would take a gauge kick or one of those joints. Before fucking ODB even starts to run, Madison
right.
Rain puts her foot up and holds her foot in the air as if to, you know, if you would raise your foot and, like, kick the person that's charging you in the corner. Well,
right.
Like, she had her foot up the entire time from ring post, waiting for her to get there. ODB, like, runs all the way up to her, pretty much stops, and, like, plants her crotch on this chick's foot. And then, like, bumps backwards as if she, like, lifted her up with her foot. And, I don't even know how to... I don't even know how to fucking handle that shit. It's so horrible.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to go into next?
I don't know. Guessing this fucking dude ain't calling in. Fucking reliable as shit. Well, I guess I'll go into the CZW card.
Okay.
Let me see. Well, you got Aerial Assault. It's on March 10th. And that's next Saturday, a week from this Saturday. The Aerial Assault match features our next week's guest, Uha Nation, Samurai Del Sol, Samurai Del Sol, Latin Dragon, Rory Mondo, Niles Young. Now they're calling him Lucky 13. But he was just lucky. He was 13. Well, he was lucky, and then he was 13 for a whole long time, and then he went back to lucky, and now they're just tagging them both together, and it's just fucking weird. Then you got Ryan McBride and Shane Strickland. So there's your main event. And then you got, you got a three-way for the world title. Scotty Vortex defending against Devin Moore and the Ego Robert Anthony in a three-way. You got another three-way title match. Three-way tag titles. Azrael and Bandido Jr. defending against the Blackout and the Runaways in a three-way.
Should be good.
Let's hope. Got a match I'm looking very, very much forward to. And Greg Excellent taking on Mia Yim in a tables, ladders, and chairs match. I'm going to go into the review a little bit later with the January show I finally got the chance to see. And I like that fucking... That match on there was really good. At least as good as their match in... what was that, Night of Infamy?
Yep.
Yeah, they've had a great series of matches, and this should be no different. Tables, ladders, and chairs is going to be pretty fucking severe, I think, between the two of them. And, hopefully they don't disappoint. I really don't expect them to. Should come through. You also have... it doesn't say it's for the championship. But, I'm not going to say CZW is accurate. They cut a promo, more or less, having DJ High talking to Adam Cole. And DJ's like, he's talking shit to him about him interfering and this and that. And how he screwed him in the match with Sammy. And then he goes, you want a title match? You want another title match? And Cole's like, yeah, of course, I'd love a title match. I'll do anything for a title match. Oh, yeah, title match. And he goes, all right, you got it. Against the CZW Ultraviolent Underground Champion, Masada. So, as far as I'm concerned, that should be an Ultraviolent Underground title match, and there definitely should be stipulations of an Ultraviolent Underground title match. There shouldn't be, just him versus him, because they didn't pitch it that way. They pitched it. He thought he was getting a title shot. He's getting a title shot, but not against the guy he thought he was. So we'll see what goes on there. First time ever match. Could be a lot of different good things that come out of that. We'll see. Next up, you have another first in CZW Junior Heavyweight Champion, Sammy fucking Callahan, up against Drake Younger. And, man, Drake, he's supposedly been cutting weight and everything since last month, and trying to get into junior heavyweight champion type weight. We'll see what happens there. Sammy's been on a crazy tear in CZW for quite some time now. These two guys should tear it the fuck up. I'll see why not. You got Danny Havoc taking on a member of Gulak for a better CZW. So they were just saying a member. It could be fucking Feet. It could be fucking Mr. Topeka. It could be fucking that Chris Hero action figure. It could be fucking Dewey for all we know.
Dewey!
Yeah. And, Jimmy Drew.
What they used to say to Dewey about Dewey? Dewey got pig. I don't know. They used
Dewey
to scream
fucks
something. Yeah, Dewey Fox. Dewey Fox pig. Yeah.
That's the
I haven't
one.
Heard that in a while.
All right. We'll pause on that because I finally got this guy on the line. Welcome to the show, Brett Lauderdale.
Yo, what's up, man?
Oh,
my bad, fellas. My bad. I know I'm a little late tonight. I got stuck out. I was running some errands, but I made it. I'm officially
all right, all right. Cool, cool. I thought you was bailing on us. Like, shit. So,
my bad, fellas.
Nah, it's all good.
What do we got tonight? Who's been on tonight? Anybody out from the combat zone yet, or am I the first one?
No. You're our only guest tonight, so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. We got Uha Nation next week, but, yeah, man.
You know, that's officially my favorite wrestler in the combat zone right now. Uha Nation, yep.
All right.
What do you guys think of him right now?
Oh, he's fucking killing it, man.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, yeah, man, I wanted to get you on, you know, chat about some shit. You've been doing a lot of reffing in CZW for a while, and when did you start reffing, and, you know, how did you get into that whole thing?
All right, well, let's see. Back when I first started working for the Dub, almost 5 years ago now, originally I was doing stuff, you know, for the website and writing and stuff. And as part of that, I was going down to the CZW school every night down at the arena, two nights a week. You know, I went every night for, you know, over a year, or every week for over a year. So, you know, I was always there. You know, there was, you know, they would have training, and, you know, they were doing, you know, training matches, and there was no other wrestler. So, the trainer at the time, John Dahmer, would always ask me, you know, can you help us out? Can you get in there and wrestle these practice matches? So I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm here. Might as well. So, you know, I would do it, and, you know, I would do it pretty much every week, and, you know, I got to be, you know, semi-decent at it where, you know, at least they could, you know, it seemed like they had a real ref in there, and then Dahmer called me up after about half a year. He was doing the show called ACW for Twisted Tate out in glorious Denver, PA. You guys know of ACW? You ever heard of it?
Yeah, Atomic Championship.
Yep. And they had a big show coming up, and I think like one of their refs had gotten hurt or something, or one was going to be out of town or whatever. They needed a ref, so they asked Dahmer if he knew anybody, and so Dahmer hit me up and he asked if I wanted to do it, and I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. So I went and did the first show, and I liked it. It was, you know, I had a good time, and it was, you know, cool to actually do it, you know, on a real show instead of just, you know, in a closed gym. And
yeah.
You know, I wasn't horrible. So, you know, word got back that, you know, I could, you know, I was serviceable, and if they ever needed somebody in CZW, you know, that they could, you know, that I might be worth, you know, trying out. So a few months went by, and we came up to the Cash show that year, and Logan had just, you know, everybody's favorite, Brian Logan, had just had shoulder surgery, and he couldn't, you know, he couldn't rest, so.
Was it his counting shoulder?
Yeah, his counting shoulder, exactly.
Oh, okay. That's a bad deal for the ref.
You know how those cash shows were back then, those double headers. It was two long-ass shows with, you know, 20 matches, and, you know, they needed an extra guy. So Maven asked me if I wanted to step in for the day, and, you know, of course I did it. You know, I never thought that I would actually have a chance to, you know, be a part of, a, you know, actually in-ring part of a show at the ECW Arena. So, of course, I jumped at it. You know, I stepped in. I had a, you know, I did well, and it kind of put me in line for January of the following year when Logan left the company, or at least left the company as a rep, and they asked me if I wanted to step in and do it full-time. So that's it. From that day forward, I've been reffing for the Dub. And I've missed exactly one show since. So that's my life as a referee in the Dub.
Nice. Well, I imagine when you first got in there, it was Zandig up in there, right?
Yeah, Zandig was still in charge, and you know, Maven was you know, the right hand man.
What was it like working for Zandig?
Well, it was cool. You know, he was always, you know, for the most part, he was pretty hands-off. You know, he would have, like, you know, his storylines or, you know, his guys that he would take a particular interest in at any given time. And, you know, he would focus his efforts on, you know, those people or those stories. And, you know, like I said, you know, it wasn't everybody, you know, just a few, you know, a few feuds or a few workers at a time that he would put his focus on. So, you know, he wasn't, you know, he, you know, unlike now where DJ's got his hand in everything, you know, John, outside of just a couple, you know, instances, John would kind of be out of the way. So,
right.
You know, it was cool. And, you know, and then when John would, you know, get involved with something, you know, it kind of felt special because, you know, John doesn't really give a shit about everything. So when he does, it was like, oh, all right, this is pretty cool. But, you know,
right.
John was always cool with me back then. And so, you know, it was a, and I was always a big fan, so it was cool to actually get to work for him.
Yeah. What was, you know, one of your first big matches or something that, you know, maybe it was like the first match that you actually looked at and was like, wow, like, I'm repping this shit. Like,
well, I'll be honest with you. The first match that I ever really wanted to do, and it's not one you might think of, it was on the first show I ever did, and it was actually the first CZW match I ever repped, and to this day it's a really special match to me. I repped Adam Cole versus Tyler Veritas in the opener of that doubleheader. And I remember, like, in the weeks leading up to that show, you know, there was talk, you know, that match might happen, it might not happen. You know, it was on, then it was off a bunch of times, and I just, you know, I kept hoping that, you know, come show day, it would actually make it onto the lineup. And it did, and when I, you know, when I found out I was going to be reffing, and I was pretty excited. So that was like the first, match I was really jacked for. And then, of course, by the end of that night, I ended up reffing the main event of that show, the main event of the whole evening, which was, do you remember what it was?
No, what was that?
It was Hate Club, Gage and Hatred versus Notorious Inc., Devin Moore and Jude Blood. So I went from being psyched just to do a match, which was, you know, my first match, Cole versus Veritas, to actually doing my first Hate Club match and main event all on the same day. So those were, like, my first two really big matches that I was, you know, excited to be a part of. You know how it is with a Gage match, you know.
Yeah.
Chaos. So, you know, I was thrown right into the fire, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Over time, I mean, you've been involved in quite a bit of not only Gage matches, but a lot of the big death matches. I've seen, you know, various different things from Logan with the face mask and, you know, throwing up in the ring from the light tube gas and that type of thing to, you know, people handling it all different ways. What was your thoughts on getting in there with, you know, light tubes and glass and tacks and all of that?
Well, honestly, you know, a lot of people would always tell me, like, you know, oh, don't do that, or, you know, make sure you don't get stuck doing death matches or whatever, but honestly, it never really fazed me, you know, because, you know, I came from being a huge fan of CZW and loving watching the death matches, so, you know, I had never thought twice about, you know, getting involved and, you know, actually reffing those matches. I mean, I'm really not scared, you know. I mean, that stuff, you know, I'm not a wrestler, and I don't even do the, you know, for the most part, I don't do the bumps that those guys do. And, you know, it hurts, you know, it does hurt when you, you know, you go down and you hit the mat and you hit the thumbtack and shit. That does hurt, but, I mean,
yeah. You
know, how can I complain when those dudes are going fucking head first and getting slammed on their back and fucking, you know, taking Kenzans to the head? I mean, how can I complain when, you know, about a thumbtack going in my hand when those guys are doing that shit right next to me, so...
Right.
You know, it's cool. It doesn't really bother me, and, you know, it's all part of the game, and it's the combat zone. That's what we're here for.
Well, speaking of Gage, I mean, this is a guy that you became pretty close with, you know, over the time that, you know, you've been there, I guess. How did your relationship with Gage, you know, actually develop or whatever?
Well, I don't even know if I should tell, like, this story. Well, I'd always known, I don't know if you know this, before I worked for CZW, I worked for WWE for 2 years. I worked for WWE.com. you know, I was on the road with them, and, you know, I was writing, you know, recaps of, you know, Raw or SmackDown, and, you know, doing all sorts of other stories too for the website. And at the time I was going to CZW as a fan, and of course I was going to Nichols after the shows, and Gage was always there too. So through a mutual friend, you know, Ed O'Mac was also tight with me at the time, and Ed was also tight with Gage, and somehow, you know, he got to introduce me to Nick, and Nick found out I worked for WWE, and he thought that was the coolest thing ever. Like, I remember the first night I hung out with him in Nichols, like, I spent the whole night answering questions, you know, from him about, you know, different, like, you know, what different superstars were like, and, you know, who was cool, who's an asshole, you know, this and that, and, you know, it's just always, you know, I always thought it was interesting that this dude who goes in there and is rolling around in barbed wire and shit is also actually, you know, really a fan of wrestling, too. You know, he watches WWE just like everybody else does.
Right.
So I always thought that was cool. And, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just kind of one thing led to the next. And, you know, we ended up, you know, chilling before and after the shows every month and going to Nichols. And, you know, it's just, you know, a relationship, you know, as friends grew. And, you know, just we stayed tight for years after that. And, you know, eventually when I started working for the company, you know, I ended up becoming pretty much his ref. You know, I would end up from there, you know, I ended up started working for a lot of other companies. You know, and I would help him get bookings other places. We would travel together. You know, we pretty much went everywhere together. Anywhere, any show I was at, he was at, and vice versa pretty much for close to 3 years after I started working for ZBW. So, I mean, it's not hard to, you know, once you start traveling with each other and whatnot, you know, it's not hard to become good friends in the wrestling business.
Right. Well, I mean, being, you know, someone, you know, as close to Gage as you were and stuff, when obviously the, you know, the situation went down with him and, you know, everything hit the news and all of that stuff, I mean, what was your reaction or your thoughts when everything went down?
Well, I mean, I was obviously surprised. You know, I knew he was, you know, I knew Nick was kind of down on his luck at the time, you know, and he had seen better days both physically and mentally. But, you know, you never expect somebody you know is going to rob a bank. And, you know, when I found out what happened, you know, and that he was a wanted man, obviously, you know, I was shocked and upset and sad and all that stuff all wrapped into one. So, I mean, you know, just as you would be, you know, how you would feel if one of your best friends robbed a bank, you know, that's the same way I felt, you know. So it sucked.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, I was following the story just like everybody else was. I was hoping it would come to a peaceful end and, you know, he would, you know, do the right thing ultimately, and thankfully he did.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I know you do, you know, go out there and visit him quite often and everything like that. You know, make sure you give him a shout out for us and everything, you know, when you see him.
Cool.
So, you know, make sure he keeps his spirits high. I've been meaning to write him, but I'm like the worst fucking person to write a letter to fucking anybody, so.
Yeah, it's all good. I mean, he knows, you know, he gets letters from a lot of people. And he always tells me, you know, tell everybody I said what's up and thank him. And, you know, just like, you know, you say you're shitty at writing letters and whatnot, he's, you know, he wants everybody to know, you know, he's the same way. So if anybody out there has been writing him letters and you don't get a response, don't take it personally. He's, you know, he gets all the letters. He really appreciates it. He just, he's not great with words on paper. So, you know, we get to him and keep him coming, you know, and like I said, you know, there'll come a day when he's going to get to thank you face to face, and he will do that. He's just, you know, he's just not great with words and putting them to paper, but, you know, he loves hearing from his fans, and he knows everybody out there. You know, I let him know that everybody's thinking about him. You know, I do go to see him. I try to see him at least once a month. I try, you know, sometimes I, you know, if my schedule allows, I'll get there two or three times if I can. And, you know, every month he always asks me, you know, I usually go Sunday, so I try to go the Sunday after a CZW show.
Right.
You know, first thing when I get in there, he always wants to know the full rundown of the show, you know, match by match, you know, who's looking good, what match was good, what match sucked, you know, stories from the back, who's doing what, how's there, you know. So he's right up to date with everything that's going on, and he stays interested, and, you know, I make sure that he's up on everything, and, you know, he really hasn't missed a beat other than not being there.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I mean, you know, going off of that, and I'm sure there's been a few or whatever, but one that stuck out was, you know, speaking, like, ref bumps, the tack bat you got hit with.
Oh, God.
How did that all come about, and how'd that go?
Well, I remember, he had actually, that was around the time when he was living in Florida, but he had actually been up, I can't remember, there was some, like, show he was doing either the week before, I think he'd done a show the week before, so he was staying in town that week, and he was, you know, he was staying with me that week, and, I, you know, one of the days during that week, I went and got a haircut. Like, I'd had, you know, my hair was growing out long, and it was scruffy, and I needed a haircut, so I went, and, you know, I ended up getting, like, a buzz cut, pretty much. Like, I got, like, a one or two, my hair was really short. I remember I walked in the door, and he was like, oh, that's perfect. I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you mean it's perfect? He goes, oh, it's perfect. Now when I hit you with the bat, you know, everybody's going to see you bleed. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I'm definitely going to hit you with a tack bat on Saturday. And right there, that was it. That sealed my fate. He saw my, you know, my fresh haircut and an opportunity to make me bleed and let everybody see it. So that's where the tack bat came from. And, you know, when we talked about it, you know, and when he finally talked me into it, you know, we agreed, you know, all right, you hit me one time, and that'll be that. Let the crowd enjoy it, and, you know, and then that'll be the end of that one. But, of course, he hit me and all the loving fans there, of course, had to have one more time. So, you know, he picked me up and nabbed me again. And if I didn't roll the fuck out of the ring, I probably would have gotten another one and another one and another one. So, you know, I just, you know, took it and you know, that was that. And hopefully that'll never happen again.
Yeah. That was cool stuff. Other than that, what other, I mean, any other ref bumps that kind of stick out to you? Or?
Yeah, definitely. And it would be like the tack bat would be the appetizer to the next bump, which was TOD that year. I don't remember if it was TOD or TOD Fast Forward, but there was, of course, the light tube bundle. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't, but
it was,
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, actually, it was Rewinder. I don't remember if it was called Rewinder Fast Forward, but it was the TOD we did, the second TOD we did that year in the fall. He was doing, I don't remember if he was just starting the thing with some tech jack or if it was just, like, developing or whatever, but he had gotten beat earlier in the show, and in the finals, Thumbtack Jack, what happened? Oh, yeah, Thumbtack Jack had just beaten Masada, I think it was.
Okay, yeah, that was the 8.5, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, the whole deal was the Gage was going to come out and, you know, fuck up TJ. And, you know, anytime Nick can take a shot to blast me or something, he's going to do it. So, you know, we talked about it. He's like, what if I come in and hit you with a two? I was like, oh, here we go. But, you know, I'd been drinking that entire day, as everybody else was, and, you know, I was in full stupid mode, so, you know, I was like, oh, sure, why don't you just hit me with a tack, with a light tube? And, you know, he's like, all right, yeah, cool, that's what I'm talking about. So, you know, I went, we were in the back, you know, they have tubes everywhere, so I went and I just looked for one little single tube, you know, one nice tube, no gimmicks, you know, glue to it, no nothing, you know, just one nice little single tube. I picked it up and I brought it over to him and I said, just hit me with this one and that'll be that. He's like, yeah, all right, no problem, I got you. So, you know, we're out there and, of course, I reffed that match, so I wasn't back there to, you know, keep an eye on anything. So the match ended and, of course, he came out to the ring and I turned around and it wasn't a single tube, it was a whole bundle. So somewhere in the mix, he traded off that little tube I set aside for him and he exchanged it for a big-ass bundle and, you know, by the time I see it, it's too late for me to do anything about it. And, yeah, that was that one. That one was not one of my favorite moments, but the crowd definitely liked that one. I remember watching it back on DVD, and you can see the one dude in the, this one dude in a homemade, like, CZW basketball jersey, and he's going nuts in the crowd when I got blasted. So as long as somebody enjoyed it, I guess it's worth it, but it wasn't one of my most pleasant moments in the dub.
Right.
So yeah, that one will always stand out. And I'll tell you, here's a good story, well, an interesting story, too. Of all the bumps I've taken and different gimmicks I've been hit with, the worst one I ever took, the worst one, was not from Gage. It was actually from Nate Hatred, and it was at Jersey All-Pro. They were feuding with, like, who was it, Steve Mack and, like, the heavy, I don't know, I think it was Heavy Hitters.
Yeah.
And you know, the deal with the Gage was going to come in, and I don't remember what he was going to do. He was going to just, like, forearm me or something. But Nate Hatred got a hold of me first, and he fucking hit me with his, like, bitch slap. Like, like across the side of my face and my ear. And I swear, like, my head was ringing for, like, hours after that. And nothing hurt more in my entire wrestling life than getting bitch slapped by Nate Hatred. Hatred is the All-Pro. That was
cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's some shit. Going back to that match you spoke about a minute ago, the 8.5 match, that was a crazy fucking finals. And, you know, with the cinder blocks and fucking fire and, I mean, everything else that went on. You know, what was it like being in a ring with that type of shit?
That was definitely, I'm hard-pressed to think of a crazier match I've ever been a part of. That was insane. I remember, you know, that was one of those matches where I'm in the ring and I'm doing the job, but really I'm just as much a fan as I am a ref at that point. I mean, I remember watching in awe as, you know, that match is unfolding, and, you know, I keep thinking that this has got to be it right here. You know, Thumbtack Jack keeps kicking out, and Masada keeps kicking out, and I'm thinking, how are these guys still going? This is incredible. You know, and I'm watching in awe, just, you know, just like everybody else out in the crowd is. You know, the only difference is I can't, you know, stop to clap or chant or anything. I have to act, you know, professional and stay, you know, you know, do my job. But I mean, I'm watching it in awe, just like everybody else is. That was an incredible match.
Yeah. Well, going back to the one earlier in that same year and everything, you know, being main event and being in the ring when the Gage situation happened, and, you know, he caught that cut under his arm that, you know, ended up almost killing him. You know, what was it like to be in that situation? You know, how did you handle yourself in the midst of chaos and pretty much everyone was clueless on what to do?
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember, you know, it happened so quick, and it happened right at the beginning of the match. They were planning to have, you know, a classic. They were going to go nuts and, you know, go for 20 minutes and break out every, you know, weapon left and, you know, just do a classic Gage and Thumbtack Jack match. And, of course, you know, before he even got started, you know, he gets thrown into those tubes and he gets sliced open. And I never even saw it, really. You know, I saw him go flying out of the ring, and then next thing I knew, he was sprinting to the back. And, you know, I'm in the middle of the ring, so I didn't know how bad it was. Neither did TJ. And I remember, I think it was Maven or Shawnee was out, you know, came out to the side of the ring, and they're like, yeah, he fucked up. It's, you know, we don't think he's coming back. And so I just remember, like, you know, I went and I told TJ, I was like, he's not coming. So we were both just kind of staring at each other like, okay, so now what? And then, you know, one thing leads to the next. Moxley comes running out, and, you know, Sammy and DJ and one after another, and I remember, like, you know, everybody was just in there just trying to, you know, hold it over for a second until somebody could figure out, you know, where they were going to take it. And, you know, ultimately, the ending ended up in the ring, and, you know, they you know, they ended up just doing the, you know, the shit with throwing DJ off the top, and you know, ultimately, you know, they just, even though John made the pin outside the ring, you know, they declared TJ the winner, and that was pretty much, you know, for the situation at hand, that was pretty much, you know, the best they could come up with, you know, with no advance notice and with a guy literally bleeding to death in the back. So, I mean, it was every bit as chaotic as it looked, and nobody knew what was going on, and that was just one of those real moments where it was all going down, you know, it was unfolding right in front of our eyes. So,
yeah,
that was definitely crazy, one of the crazier moments.
Yeah. Another match that you reffed is this was this past year, and that was the Gusset Plate Death Match. Masada and Danny Havoc. First time stipulation. You know, what's your thoughts going into that? I mean, you know, something that really hasn't been done before. It was Masada's creation, and you know, nobody knew what to expect out of that. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, this is honestly, I thought that match was gonna. Oh, I didn't think the match was gonna bomb. I thought the gimmick was gonna bomb, because it's one of those gimmicks where it doesn't make a lot of noise. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't shatter when somebody hits it. You know, it was one of those gimmicks where I thought the crowd would have a really hard time appreciating it. You know, I knew it was going to do damage, and I knew it was going to hurt. But, you know, just because it hurts and does damage, it doesn't mean the crowd can really appreciate it for what it was. But those two guys, you know, they're so creative and they're so good, you know, that they were able to make it count. And, you know, the crowd really did appreciate it, and, you know, they turned that, you know, it was, like you said, from the mind of Masada, that dude's a sick fuck, and you know, when it comes to wrestling, I guess it's a good thing, and, you know, those two created, you know, they made history there, and, of course, I'll never forget, you know, Danny Havoc picking up that plank with the plate on the end of it and swinging for the fences. And I will never forget when he swung and connected with Masada's arm, and that cloud of blood, you know, went poof right off his arm into the air.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, that was another one of those moments where, like, my jaw dropped, and I, you know, I stopped being a ref and became like a, you know, part fan, part worried promoter. Like, you know, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I thought he was, you know, I thought it was, his arm was going to come off. I don't know what was going to happen. So, you know, you can see me. If you watch it back, you can see I kind of get, you know, I get pretty worried, and I'm start to try to tell those guys, like, you know, I even told him, you know, you can see me telling Masada, yo, I think you're in pretty bad shape. You might want to wrap this up. But, of course, Masada's a beast, and he's not going to finish the match until he's absolutely done. And they kept going, and they finished out. And, you know, like I said, they made history. That was an incredible match.
Yeah, it was tremendous, and I think, you know, the stipulation, even though it was something people didn't see before and stuff, those things are so fucking destructive that there's no way you can go without appreciating those things.
Yeah, I mean, there really is no way to quote unquote work those. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
there's no half-assing them. When you hit them, you're hitting them, and like you said, they are destructive. They dig in, they scrape, they cut, they leave gashes. I mean, that's all 100% real. There is nothing fake about those. And, you know, it's, those are every bit as real as they look. And I'm glad that I'm not a wrestler at times like those, because I wouldn't be anywhere near those things if I had my choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, fucking Tremont got hit up with those, too, in Indiana, and the left looked like a bear attacked his fucking back.
Yep. And God bless Matt Tremont, because he appears to be every bit as sick as Masada is, and every bit as sick as Danny Havoc is, and Gage, and all the rest of them, because, you know, he's gone head first. He's, you know, no turning back with him. He's definitely the next, you know, in, you know, the long line of CZW, you know, deathmatch, American deathmatch, you know, hopefully one day legend, you know. God bless his crazy ass, because, you know, he's picking up where Gage left off, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, it's I mean, definitely, you know, there was a huge void left when Gage, you know, went away, and shit, man, Gage was definitely the face of CZW, and, you know, beyond Gage being the face of CZW, I mean, losing a guy like JC Bailey as well, but, you know, obviously Bailey can't, you know, come back, and it was loss on top of loss on top of loss in CZW, and there was a huge void that needed to be filled, and definitely Tremont is one of those guys that definitely helps, you know, bring things around and make CZW still what it is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Matt Tremont, you know, not to like, not to pat myself on the back, but I like to think that I'm you know, in part, you know, responsible for kind of bringing him to the Dub. I don't know if you know the story of how he kind of ended up there, but I remember.
Yeah, I think you had a lot to do with that after Carnage Cup, right?
Yeah, well, I got him into Carnage Cup. What had happened was, I was reffing. Well, let me even take it a step further back. I don't know if you do you know Loudfan, Loudy, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know him? Oh. You know, he does like some of those, you know, some lesser known, not to, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of like the lesser known feds around the, you know, Philly area, the ones that, you know, you might not see on Small Mark Video, but, you know, a lot of the same guys work on. They're just not, you know, as well known. But he had been telling me, you know, Tremont had started showing up at a fed called DWF that Loud Fan works at, he manages at. And, you know, he'd been telling me, oh, there's this guy, Matt Tremont, the bulldozer. He's going to be good. He's going to be awesome. You got to see him. And, you know, he's, you know, Loud gets, you know, he's excitable. You know, a lot of the guys he works with, you know, he thinks a lot of guys are the next big thing. So, you know, I was telling him, oh, sure, you know, okay, cool, whatever, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. And we ended up being, you know, we ended up being booked for the show for Atticus, actually, IWA, or I think it was Vintage Pro at that point. I don't remember if it was Vintage or if it was his IWA Tri-State. I don't remember. But he had a match book, Wax versus Matt Tremont, and I ended up reffing that match. And Matt ended up having a really good match with Wax, and, or, you know, they ended up having a really good match out of nowhere, you know, in front of 20 people in a skating rink in Franklinville, New Jersey, you know, and I was immediately impressed. And, yeah, we had Carnage Cup coming up the next week, and somebody had to pull out. Somebody couldn't make it. So, you know, that was one of the years where I was helping the promoter pretty closely, you know, setting up the Northeast, you know, wing of Carnage Cup. And, you know, I said to him, yo, I got a replacement for you. You should try this Matt Tremont kid. And so he said, oh, sure, if you think he's good, then bring him along with you. And so, you know, we got Tremont into Carnage Cup. He went down and killed it with Danny Havoc, and then, you know, he ended up filling in the finals. And he was awesome.
Right.
And, you know, from there, it wasn't about me putting him over anymore. You know, at that point, you know, Danny Havoc wrestled him, and Devin Moore had seen him, and everybody saw that this kid was hungry and fearless and humble, polite, respectful, eager to learn and eager to be part of it. And, you know, he was all the good qualities you look for in an up-and-coming wrestler. And, you know, it was with everybody's support behind him, you know, we were able to convince DJ to put him into TOD. And, you know, TOD, he went toe-to-toe with the Butcher, and, you know, they had a classic. And the rest is history. From that moment forward, you know, Matt Tremont, you know, is full-time, indefinite member of the Combat Zone. And I think we're still just scratching the surface of Matt Tremont.
Sure, for sure. well... Another match that this past year went down, and, well, I mean, the whole feud was a classic, obviously, but a match that, I mean, I got up personally, and I called it then, and I still got a call, is, that, in my opinion, the best dog collar match that ever happened is Drake Younger versus Scotty Vortex, and you were left in that match. What was your thoughts on that?
Scotty and Drake, I mean, what can you say? Those two have had hundreds of matches, and, you know, nobody knows those two better, or, you know, nobody knows Drake better than Scotty. Nobody knows Scotty better than Drake. And when you put those two in the ring and they're motivated and they're, you know, determined to do something special, they're going to do something special. And, you know, they put them with the, you know, they put them in the dog collar. And, you know, those two went out and they did some incredible shit. They managed to do it an entire match without being able to, you know, go more than 3 or 4 feet away from each other. You know, they had the collar between them. They used the stipulation to, you know, to the max, you know. I mean, they followed the rules of the match, and I mean, they made more history that night in the arena. And I remember one of the big things that kind of was like, it was like one thing that kind of irked me, not that matters, but, you know, I think it kind of irked Scotty and Drake even more, or even motivated them even more, the fact that they weren't the main event that night. And I think that kind of motivated them even more to do something, you know, like to say, you know, hello, you know, we should be the main, and, you know, this is why. And they kind of went out there and proved that, you know, you never doubt the Naptown boys. I mean, you put them in the ring together and you ask them to deliver and they're going to do it. And they definitely did it that night. And that was another, you know, another one of those matches where, you know, I became just as much a fan as I was a referee. And, you know, one move to the next, I was in awe and I was loving it. And, you know, they finished the match off 1-2-3, and it was, you know, it was history. And, I remember Drake saying, to me in the ring, you know, that'll show DJ for doubting us. And I just, you know, I remember thinking like, hell yeah, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Don't doubt the Naptown boys, and, you know, they did it.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is, I mean, you see a million wrestlers out there that can't do that match without a chain attached to them, and the amount of things those guys did with the chain, with no slip-ups, not a trip on the chain, not anything, no pauses, no, I mean, these guys were so fluent with that thing, it was like they live on a chain, and, yeah, I gave them so much credit for that match, so.
Yeah, it was definitely awesome, and any promoter out there who, you know, has those two working for them, you know, at the same time, you know, if you ever need a big money match, put Scotty and Drake together, and, you know, you're guaranteed to get a classic out of it, so. Any promoters out there that are listening, take note. Put Scotty and Drake together, you got magic.
Yeah. Well, another match that was, you know, the cap off to that feud, and was bittersweet, but, I mean, just one of the crazy, crazy matches. The amount of stipulations packed into that match was insane. The Tangled Web match, and obviously, you know, there's some things that went down there that were not planned and weren't, you know, how they should have gone, but, you know, how did that go down with, you know, you being part of it and seeing that and everything?
Yeah, sure. That was another chaotic moment in the dub. You know, they had, the obvious, you know, focal points of that match was, you know, the barbed wire net, you know, on top of the second ring and the scaffolds and whatnot, but, you know, there was also those panes of glass. And, you know, I don't remember how or where they got the glass from for that match, but I don't think it was the normal place where we usually get our glass. And they got that one, you know, totally, you know, different kind of glass. Somehow they ended up
plate
in the
glass,
ring. Yeah. And, you know, it was relatively early in the match, and, you know, Scotty, I don't know, what was Drake doing? Did he try to throw him face first through it or something? And
yeah,
it was
some form of like an Irish whip or something along those lines.
Yeah, and, you know, Scotty tried to, he tried to go, like, you know, brace himself with forearms, or he tried to go hands, you know, break it with his hands, and, you know, the glass wanted no part of it, and it ended up, you know, as we later found out, it ended up, you know, I think severing a couple of tendons in his hand. And
yep.
he was bleeding very bad, you know, he was pouring blood out, and, you know, he instantly was telling me and Drake, you know, I can't feel my hand, and, you know, the doctor was out there, Maven came out, Devin ended up running out, Drew Blood came out, you know, everybody was yelling at me in the ring to tell them, you know, wrap it up. You know, he can't keep wrestling. We got to get him out of there into the hospital. And, of course, I'm relaying the message. That's all I can do is relay the message to those two. But, you know, Drake's telling me to shut the fuck up and Scotty's telling me to shut the fuck up. And, I mean, okay, you know, I can tell them to stop, but unless they stop, they're not going to stop. You know,
right.
Those two were so determined after they'd come so far and, you know, had that program for so many months. And, you know, ultimately, you know, their entire wrestling lives had led to that moment. And there was no way they were going to end that match and end that feud until they were ready. And, you know, Scotty gets so much, all the credit in the world. I mean, that dude is, you know, he often gets, you know, slighted or underrated or looked past. But, you know, that match alone should prove to everybody that he's definitely one of the toughest mother effers out there. You know, he's as tough as anybody who's ever been in a CZW ring. And, you know, he continued and they ended up having, and, you know, another awesome match. And, you know, a match that should have been, you know, really, had there been, you know, a Had there been somebody from, you know, the commission at ringside who understood the severity of the injury, you know, that match probably would have been stopped. But,
right.
You know, they ended up going and, you know, all the credit to Scotty, because that dude, you know, would not be denied. And they had, you know, another awesome, awesome match amidst total chaos, you know, and they just refused to be denied, and they had an awesome match.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you've been traveling with these guys, you've been doing a lot of different things like that. Is there any, you know, crazy road stories you got?
There's tons of them.
That can be told.
There's plenty that can't be told and plenty that shouldn't be told and plenty that never will be told. I remember one of the first road trips I ever took. Aside from Gage, the guy who I've probably traveled with the most next is probably Devin Moore. Me and him have gone everywhere. We've taken, you know, 14-hour road trips to Alabama and Illinois and, you know, everywhere in between. And I remember one of the first trips we took was for King of the Deathmatch at Ian's. I remember it was like me and Devin and a couple other guys that were on the show and a couple other friends of mine and fans who are regularly at shows. And I remember we were somewhere in Ohio, you know, in the middle of the night, and we had stopped to get gas and, you know, use the bathroom and whatnot. And we were getting back in the car, you know, it was my turn to drive. And I don't know if I was just not paying attention or if maybe my brain wasn't all there. But, you know, I got in the car and, you know, I turned the car on and, you know, I put the car into drive not realizing that, shit, not everybody's even in the car yet. And, you know, as I start to drive away, you know, Devin Moore is half in the car and I ran over his foot. And then, you know, he's obviously yelling, "Yo, Lauderdale!" And I immediately hit the brake and I turn around to look and I stopped and we're still right on top of his foot. And it took me a second to realize that, A, I had just ran over Devin Moore's foot, and B, I had the car stopped on Devin Moore's foot. And needless to say, by the time, you know, he got in the car and the door was closed, it wasn't a very pleasant remainder of the trip for me to Indiana, and it took me a long time to get off his shit list, needless to say. But that's one of my, you know, one of the memorable early road trip stories,
right,
you know, that sticks out of my mind.
That's funny. This current just passed the last quote-unquote last CZW show in the arena. Wrapping the match, DJ versus Zandig. What was that like?
Really cool. I ended up, you know, I've over the years, you know, going from, you know, as John would call me, you know, the internet guy, as he knew me. You know, he never knew my name. He just knew me as the guy who wrote for the internet. You know, I went from the internet guy to, you know, as recently as the last, you know, the last show at the arena to becoming, you know, Zandig's preferred referee, which, you know, is pretty cool. And, you know, getting to do that match, you know, I knew it was, you know, I pretty much know which match I'm going to do at this point. And, you know, I've been looking forward, you know, when I heard that that match was, you know, going to happen, you know, I was looking forward to it the whole time. And, you know, it was a lot of anticipation for it. And, you know, I thought that that match turned out as good as anybody could have hoped. And, you know, DJ brought it, you know, and Zandig definitely brought it. And those two had, you know, what I think you could call a classic GCW-style, you know, brawl, death match. And I thought it was a pretty fitting end. You know, I didn't like the way that the match ended, per se, but I thought that, you know, aside from that, I thought it was an appropriate way for CCW to close out the building.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Do you think that this is actually the last show that will happen in that building?
It's definitely the last show in that building as we know it. You know, the next time you or I step into that building, it's not going to look the same.
Of course not.
You know, I'm pretty close. Throughout the years, I've always been close with Roger, you know, the guy who, up until just recently, you know, has been running that building.
Right.
You know, it goes back, even outside of wrestling, me and Roger are from the same hometown up in upstate New York. So, you know, we've always had, like, this, you know, this kind of bond, you know, that kind of went beyond just, you know, seeing him the second Saturday of every month. You know, we were kind of, you know, as close as friends as, you know, a building owner and a referee could be. You know, we were always, you know, I would talk to him, you know, occasionally, you know, during the weeks, you know, outside of shows and, you know, just check up. He has a young kid and so do I. So, you know, we were always talking about our kids and whatnot. So, you know, you know, point being, you know, Roger usually shoots pretty straight with me. And, you know, he told me, you know, what my understanding is, you know, these people coming in, you know, what you've heard is, you know, most of the truth. They're trying to turn it into a concert venue. You know, the lady who used to run the truck and ultimately, you know, ran it into the ground, you know, her plan, she's going to be knocking down, you know, the walls, you know, that we're used to seeing. You know, she's going to be saying that the arena that we know is only a fraction of that building.
Of course, beyond
the locker room, there's a giant warehouse back there. And they're going to be utilizing that entire space. They're going to be knocking down the wall that is the locker room and the wall that is, you know, behind the snack bar there. And they're going to be trying to turn that into one giant, you know, space for, you know, concerts. So, I mean, it's going to become, you know, it's going to be tough to run a low-budget independent wrestling show there. Because it's not going to be, you know, a little space anymore. When you're going to be renting that place, you're going to be renting a giant building. So it's going to be tough. I mean, who knows?
Do you think the rent will go sky high?
Yeah, the rent's going to go sky high. And, you know, it's going to price, you know, it already prices most people out. I mean, obviously, as we know, only a couple feds can even afford to run there as it is, you know, could afford to run there as it was. So, you know, you do the math, I mean, the space is going to more than double. You know, the cost to operate that space is going to probably, you know, double. And, you know, even if we do see wrestling there again, it's not going to be on the same level. You know, I mean, it's not going to be what we're used to. So, I mean, do I think we may see wrestling again there someday? I definitely think it's possible, but I'm not sure that it's very likely. So.
And then I would imagine, too, you know, they put a bunch of money into the building. They're probably not going to be the biggest fans of, you know, running a bunch of death matches in there either, right?
Well, that too, that's a whole other story to it also. I mean, you know, this lady's never seen death match wrestling in her life. You know, she sees, you know, she's not going to be, you know, if she ever even does decide, you know, to take the money and let somebody run a wrestling show there, you know, I'm sure she's not going to be thrilled to let her, you know, multi-million dollar renovations go to use with, you know, blood pouring all over the place. So, I think we're going to be hard pressed to ever see CZW like we knew it in that building again.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah, you spend a whole shitload of money and then someone brings in a bunch of panes of glass, people are pissing out of their forehead, the fans are screaming, take your shirt off, pussy, and
right,
I have a feeling that would be the last time they run there.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. You know, hopefully the renovations fall through. You know, hopefully, you know, that lady, you know, falls on hard financial times and she's never even able to do what she wants to do, and maybe, you know, in a perfect world, the building falls back into Roger's hands before anything else happens, and, you know, maybe we can get back in there, but it just doesn't seem likely at this point. So.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's probably pretty accurate.
I would really love to be wrong, but it just doesn't seem to be in the cards.
What was your favorite match you ever ref?
That's impossible to answer. I mean, I would definitely have to say...
Or a top three, or, you know, no particular order.
You know, Gage and Thumbtack Jack, Hate to Death, was up there.
Right.
Thumbtack Jack and Masada in Delaware. Even, you know, it wasn't a great match, but Gage and Zandig in Delaware that I reffed, that was pretty memorable.
Yeah, it was horrific.
It wasn't great.
I'm sure, you know, being part of the match was very special.
I mean, you know, it was cool to be a part of either way, but, I mean, you know, we all wish it, you know, that it could have turned out another way, but, you know, that will always still stick out of my mind. Like I said earlier, Tyler, Veritas, and Adam Cole, that match, I'll never forget being a part of that match. That was big to me. Let's see, what else have I done over the years there? I did a really good three-way match at the arena. At just a random month show, it was Vortex versus Ruckus versus B-Boy. Vortex versus B-Boy versus Devin Moore. They had a crazy three-way that I remember blowing me away. It was just, you know, a regular match on a regular show, but they ended up killing it. I don't know if you remember it.
Not really.
Good match.
But...
Yeah. That one always sticks out in my mind. A lot of those death matches, there's been so many of them that, you know, sometimes it's hard to just, name them off the top of my head, but I've seen a lot of crazy matches in that building that, you know, don't seem humanly possible. And, you know, if I were to sit down and make a list, it would be a mile long. I appreciate every single one of them, you know, and
yeah.
Being, you know, ultimately I end up pretty much having the best seat in the house for every match that I ref. I can really appreciate everything that those guys do. So, I mean, it's hard for me to pick, you know, a favorite per se. You know, I appreciate and I really enjoy them all for the most part. So can't really give you a definitive best, but countless, you know?
Yeah. The TV product. What's your feelings on that? I mean, you worked there a couple of years, as you told us, and everything else. Currently they're doing a few things. They're leading up to WrestleMania right now. What's your feelings on everything going on there?
WWE, you talking about?
Yeah. The TV product, okay.
I don't follow super closely year-round, but, you know, every year from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, I'm always tuned in, you know, to Raw every week, and I pay attention. And, I think some shit sucks, and I think some shit's pretty good right now. I think it's pretty amazing that the two world champions are, you know, basically... You know, indie wrestlers, you know, those are indie guys. CM Punk and Bryan Danielson are indie guys.
Of course.
And it's pretty incredible that Vince McMahon has decided to make the two faces of his company indie guys, for lack of a better term. I think that's pretty cool. I'm definitely a supporter of that. There are some guys who I'm tired of. If I break down this WrestleMania card, you know, I could care less about Triple H and Undertaker. I mean, they're both good, but we've seen it all from them a million times, and it's just not that interesting to me.
Right.
You know, Cena and Rock, I mean, I guess it's interesting, but I'm kind of already over it now that it's been a year of, you know, uninspired promos and whatnot. It's not really, it's not, you know, as interesting to me as they, you know, as WWE thinks it is, you know.
What's your current feel on The Rock right now? Because I got, like, a strong feeling on that I was talking about earlier.
I mean, you and me were talking about, you know, we were posting about this on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll always respect The Rock, and I was definitely a big mark for The Rock back in, you know, in my high school days.
Of course, yeah.
But at this point, I mean, I think it's kind of, it's definitely phony. I think he's definitely in it for a paycheck. I don't think, you know, I think he cares, but, you know, I don't think he cares past WrestleMania. I think he just wants to do just enough to protect himself and keep, you know, his legacy, you know, alive or whatever. But I'm definitely not, like, on the edge of my seat to see what The Rock does next. You know what I mean? It doesn't really entertain me like he used to, and, you know, I could really, I mean, I don't really care.
Yeah, honestly, his promos are corny as shit right now. I mean, you don't hear grown-ass men talk like that. Like, he's getting really bad.
You have, who's he feuding with? Another corny dude, you know.
It's bad when Cena comes off like the more fucking, legitimate dude, and you're like, dude, I've hated him all year. And this has a face.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I kind of hear what Cena's saying, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, this is terrible. Get the fuck off here.
Yeah, it's like the lesser of two evils, so.
Yeah, and that's weird, so.
Yeah.
CM Punk Jericho.
That would be cool. I mean, I'm sure that's going to be an awesome wrestling match, and I'm sure that they'll get enough time to do whatever they want to do, which is good. And I haven't, you know, I've also, you know, I haven't, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, the recent incarnations of Jericho either, but he seems inspired at the moment, and he seems to care more than, you know, The Rock does, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, if Punk's involved, he's going to make sure that, you know, Punk's not going to do something, you know, half-assed, so I think we're going to get a good match out of that, and, you know, the whole program's been interesting so far, so I'm definitely looking forward to that at WrestleMania. I think that's going to be good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, what's some of your favorite, you know, all time? Like, even, you know, back in the day and some of the things that I know you're a lot into old wrestling. You watch a lot of old WCW and all sorts of different things. But, I mean, what are some of the things that actually, you know, got you into it? And the things that stick out is, like, those are my matches and this is what, you know, propelled you into this.
Yeah, that's easy for me. I grew up, you know, I grew up watching wrestling with my dad. We would watch, you know, WCW and NWA, you know, first NWA, you know, Saturday nights, and ultimately becoming a WCW Saturday night. And, you know, my first favorites were Ric Flair and Sting. And, you know, I was literally on the edge of my seat for those early matches, like, you know, Clash of the Champions, Sting and Ric Flair. I remember them having, like, 45-minute matches, hour-long matches, you know, where Flair would Flair would be the champion, and Sting would have Flair in the Scorpion Deathlock, and the time limit would be counting down, and I remember, you know, wanting Flair to tap out, whatever they would call it at the time, you know, submit.
Right.
You know, wanting Flair to give up before the time limit expired, and then, of course, you know, the bell would ring, and then Flair would start, you know, tapping the mat, but it would be just too late. I mean, those are the early matches I remember with Flair and Sting, and just going crazy for those matches, you know. I loved the Horsemen, and, you know, it was tough because I was a fan of both Flair and Sting, so it was crazy to watch, like, my two favorite speeds. And, you know, of course I loved Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and WWF, but my real love at the time, you know, if I had to pick, I would have always picked WCW over WWF. Yeah. But,
come full circle, and, yeah, how does it feel to see fucking, you know, like a withered-ass Ric Flair in the ring screaming at a guy dressed like the fucking Joker from Batman. Like,
I mean, you could say it's sad, but I mean, I don't really think it that way. I mean, I wish Ric Flair had millions of dollars and he could retire and do whatever he wanted. But the truth is, I don't think Ric Flair would rather be doing anything else right now. I mean, that dude's lived wrestling his entire life. I think if he had his choice, he would be doing wrestling right now. You know, and I mean, it sucks that he's got to do it on, you know, Thursday nights for TNA, and he's got to do it, like you said, a guy in Joker face paint. But, I mean, he still entertains me. I'm still entertained by Ric Flair to this day.
Yeah.
The Lucha promos still entertain the shit out of me, so.
Yeah, Flair is Flair. I give you that. I mean, but Sting, I don't know about that right now.
Yeah, I was watching last week, and that promo Sting did with Bobby Roode, it was really weird, and I kept thinking to myself, like, this dude's 50-something years old, like, and he's trying to, like, I'm just thinking to myself, what is he doing? Like, he's smearing his face paint all over his face, and he's talking about coming out of retirement again to wrestle Bobby Roode, and it's like...
Yeah. I just wonder what's next. I mean, he went from looking like Brian Bosworth to fucking the Crow to the Joker, and I don't know what the fuck next. I mean,
I always respected David, and at least, you know, the one thing about Sting is at least, you know, Sting always stuck to his guns, you know. He never, you know, he didn't work for Vince for a reason, you know. He didn't agree with, you know, the way he did business, and he, you know, he's always stood by that. Sting never really sold out. So, you know, technology, respect that.
I've always understood that, and I've always, like, given him a lot of credit for that. But the more you see the shit that goes on in TNA, you're like, you know what, dude, let's not talk about Vince's business. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, shit. I mean, Vince is, you know, love him or hate him, Vince obviously knows what the hell he's been doing for this entire time.
Sure.
I mean, you know, that's just one instance. Sting doesn't agree. And he's in a position where he's never had to sell out. So, you know, again, for that reason, I can respect that. But, I mean, listen, if Sting didn't want to be doing this, he wouldn't be doing it. He doesn't have to. The guy's got millions of dollars. So he must see something in Bobby Roode or whatever that makes him decide, I'll do that. You know, I'll do that. Or, you know, I'll go and smear face paint on my face because he doesn't have to do it. So,
no, definitely not.
You know? I guess he's into it.
So, it's a good hobby for him. So.
And yeah, maybe the guy's bored or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Eric, you got any questions?
He pretty much, as I was like thinking of the questions, you were pretty much asking the same thing I was thinking of. Right. So.
Cool. One last thing that's completely non-wrestling related. So. You're from New York, right?
I am from New York. Yep, I'm from upstate or western New York, depending who you ask. I'm from Rochester, New York. You know, which is up by Buffalo, Syracuse, you know, the border of Niagara Falls. And then I ended up living in Queens, New York. You know, I went to college there and lived in Queens for 6-7 years. So I am a New Yorker.
But then how did you end up with all these shitty Philly teams other than the Mets?
Well, honestly,
you could have just won a Super Bowl, you know? I'm not a Giant fan either, but Christ sakes.
Well, where I grew up was Buffalo Bills country. I mean, I grew up 45 minutes away from downtown Buffalo, New York, so...
Super Bowl more often.
Right. When I was a kid, they went to the Super Bowl 4 straight times, and they lost them all. I was actually a Dolphins fan growing up. I had Dan Marino jerseys and whatnot. So I was never a Giants or Jets fan, but, how did I become a Phillies fan? I mean, it's tough living down in this area, being so close. I mean, I'm 15 minutes away from, you know, all the stadiums and the arenas down here in Philly, and Philly has, I mean, love them or hate them, they're all just very passionate fans, and it's tough to be this close and not get sucked into it, personally. I mean, I am a hardcore Sixers fan, and I love the Eagles. And you know,
not too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
But I do still retain my love for my original team. I'll never give up on them, even though they suck. The Mets will always be my team.
Well, I always respect the Mets more than I do the Yankees. I'm not even a baseball fan, but I grew up a Mets fan and stuff, and over time I just kind of lost interest in baseball. It's too slow for me, but I hate the Yankees more than I like anything about baseball. And
I
always respect the Mets fan.
I will always hate the Yankees, and I would rather wear a Phillies jersey than a Yankees jersey any day.
Yeah. Well, that's not better, though. But
at least we can be united in our hatred for the Yankees.
Yeah, that'll work fine. That'll work fine.
Yeah.
The Phillies fans purposely vomiting on children doesn't exactly draw me towards them.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's be fair. That's not every Phillies fan. That's just one demented idiot.
Just the majority.
Right.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and defend the Phillies, so... You can go ahead and shit all over them.
No, it's all good. It's all good. They just built their reputation. What can I do? But yeah, man. Is there anything you want to throw out there, plug, you know, put up there?
Sure. Let's go. Let's see what I got coming up here. I don't just work for CZW, guys. I'm sure you know. I also work for, you know, a lot of other companies. A couple of the other ones that that I work for that I'm a big supporter of. There's a company in New York called PWS, which Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah. They run
crazy shows.
Go
ahead. What were you gonna say?
Is that the one that they're running the show on the Friday before CZW?
Yeah, they're running the show next Friday, March 9th.
Broadway.
Broadway, New Jersey.
Right. Crazy card. I wish I could make it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's headlined by Sid versus Matt Hardy. And then, he's got a crazy 7-way match with Devin Moore, Brian XL, Amazing Red.
Air Fox.
Air Fox, Shima, a couple others. I can't remember exactly the other everybody in it, but he's got Powers of Pain on the show. He's got Marty Jannetty. He just always has a crazy mix of like old time TV dudes and the Smart Mark stars that we're used to, like the AR Foxes and whatnot. So it's always like a really fun show. Like it doesn't. That's a company that doesn't take itself, too seriously as far as like storylines go. It's just more about each match is just about doing something crazy. Whether it be, like I said, Sid versus Matt Hardy, which is obviously not going to be any kind of classic in any way, but I guarantee you will be one way or the other. You know what I mean?
But I believe they got like Dan Moff, Davey Richards. Don't they have that on there?
Sammy
versus Colt Cabana.
Yep.
I mean, you get
really
anything you're going for.
Yeah, you really get a little bit of everything with PWS. And, like I said, it's not always the most serious shows, but I always have a ton of fun at them. And I would definitely recommend anybody, if you're in that area or, you have a chance to go check them out, definitely give them a look because I guarantee you will be entertained at a PWS show.
If I had a ride, I'd definitely be there myself, but I got to hold off my babysitters for Saturday in CZW.
You got to pick one. Obviously, we're going to stick to the dub, but, like I said, if you ever get a chance to check them out, you should. We got RCW's coming back up again, RCW down in Baltimore, which is, I always refer to it as Ruckus's Fed. That's another Fed that's got a pretty good mix of, young stars and, indie veterans. It's just, it's a really cool company to work for. Not, a lot of politics or anything. It's just a bunch of guys going out there and having fun and trying to have good matches. And, I really like working there. So they return on March 25th, which is a Sunday, down in Baltimore. So if anybody can get down there, I definitely recommend that. And that's the immediate future for me. And then, of course, we've got CZW coming up next Saturday. at Boyle's World Gym, Northeast Philly. And, of course, I can't wait to see Masada versus Adam Cole. I think that's going to be a really good match.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend for people to check that out for sure. And, you know, I think anytime people don't sleep on Masada, I'll just say that. Do not sleep on Masada as a wrestler.
Yeah.
So I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised with what comes out of that match. And I would say, you know, don't sleep on Adam Cole as a brawler either. You might not think that he's going to be able to go toe for toe with Masada, but I would say let's wait and see what happens. So I think it's going to be a good show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Yeah, it's pretty fucking stacked, and I'll be there. So,
But yeah, man, well, thanks for having me on for sure. I'll definitely do it again sometime, you know, and, you know, if you, you know, it's always good to see at the shows and shit, and, you know, I'm not, who am I to say it, but, you know, thanks for being, you know, being such a loyal supporter of CZW for all these years, because, you know, without people like you, you know, the dub would have on the way of, you know, so many countless other indie feds that have, you know, faded and, you know, died over the years. So, you know, thank you to you for being, you know, such a, you know, good supporter and being so loyal to the dub through all the changes over the years.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for coming on. A little late, but otherwise, I mean, you've been a great guest, so thanks for coming on. You're welcome back anytime, dude.
All right, cool, man. Well, you guys have a
all
good
right,
night,
man.
And
yep.
I will see you on Saturday in Northeast Philly.
Absolutely. Peace, man.
All right, good luck.
All right. So, yeah, there was Brett Lauderdale. Great guest, I think. He had a great amount of, you know, info and stories and stuff like that to share with us. He pretty much did exactly what I expected him to, and I enjoyed it very much. I hope everybody else did out there. I am going to play a song, and then we're going to come back with motherfucking the segment of the millennium, and everybody knows what that is. That's fucking Japanese with Eric. But first, of course, I can't go this show without playing some rap for you motherfuckers. It's gotta happen. So
natural born killers?
No. So okay. See you in a minute.
Yeah, I got some new shit for y'all to play too, you know.
Okay, good.
New
Big
shit.
Al.
Tell me if this will suffice. Or if it's mayo, out of here.
This is the Frosted Flakes.
This is
North
Finesse beat.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I guess it'll work.
You get jiggy with that?
Yeah, yeah, let me see. Check it out.
You can ball with this.
1, 2, 1, 2. Kinda tired. Big L about to get into some shit. All right, check it out. Yo, fuck all the glamours and glitz. I plan to get rich. I'm from New York and never was a fan of the Knicks. And I'm all about expanding my chips. You mad cause I was in the van with your bitch with both hands on her tits. Hold the own, hold the throne, that you know in your heart. I got style, plus the way that I be flowing is sharp. A while back I used to hustle, selling blow in the park. Counting G-stacks and rocking ice that glow in the dark. Forever, hottie hunting, trigger temper, I'm quick to body something. You looking at me like I'm probably fronting. I fuck around and throw three in your chest and flee to my rest. I'm older and smarter, this is me at my best. I stopped hanging around y'all, cause niggas like you be praying on my downfall. Hoping I flop, hoping I stop. You probably even hope I get locked. Or be on the street corner with a pipe smoking a rock. I got more riches than you, fuck more bitches than you. Only thing I haven't got is more stitches than you. Fucking punk, you ain't a leader, what? Nobody followed you, you was never shit. Your mother should've swallowed you. You want some tag along, flunky yes man shit. Do me a favor, please get off the next man dick. And if you think I can't fuck with whoever, put your money up, put your jewels up, no fucking put your honey up, put your raggedy house up, nigga. Or shut your mouth up before I buck lead and make a lot of bloodshed. Turn your tux red, I'm far from broke, got enough bread. And mad hoes, act beavis, I get nothing but head. My game is vicious and cruel, fucking chicks is a rule. If my girl think I'm loyal, then that bitch is a fool. How come you can listen to my first album and tell where a lot of niggas got their whole style from?
Yeah.
So what you acting for? You ain't half as raw, you need to practice more. Somebody tell this nigga something before I crack his jaw. You running with boys, I'm running with men. I'ma be ripping the mics until I'm 110. Have that niggas like, damn it, this nigga done it again. I throw slugs at idiots, no love for city cops. I sport a pretty watch, 850 rocks. I'm making wonderful figures, I don't fuck with none of you niggas. I
I might pull out this gun on you niggas and rob every last one of you niggas.
Yeah.
What?
Tired.
But somebody tired. That, was, that wasn't too bad.
I mean, you ain't allowed to hold the place.
You wrote, you wrote that. You were thinking about somebody when you wrote that, right?
Nah. My shit been like that because, you know, lately niggas been battling on the block lately.
Yeah. I can tell you, you wrote that ready for somebody.
Yeah, niggas been awesome. You
sharpened
know.
Up the sword.
Yeah, we got a couple of
he sharpened the pencil for that one.
All right, let me kick some more. Yeah. Shit. One more time.
Spit some more.
Right, check it out. Yeah. Check it out.
Big
yeah.
L.
Check it out. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out. All right. Check it out. Alright, we're gonna hit it like this. Check it out. Yo, check it. Yo, my shit is hot like Joe Chicken. I should rob you, but with that cheap shit, you ain't worth sticking. I got a left hook that be leaving guys knocked out. Keep frontin' and I'ma choke you till your eyes pop out. I was taught that if a nigga swing, swing right back. Battle Coleon, why do a stupid thing like that? Yo, I'm not in the mood, son, so don't push me tonight. Plus, I fucked your little sister and that pussy was right. That pussy was tight, gripping my dick like a pair of pliers. You fucking snitch right now, you probably wearing wires. It's not a joke, so as soon as he laugh, I'ma strip him naked and stick a long broom in his ass. Leave him heartbroken, make him quit rap and start smoking. My album is done, so no, it ain't no parts open. I'm not a sweet stud, I'm a street dog that's quick to beat a nigga like a cheap rug till he leak blood. You sure soft, watch you fall off. Might slide your whore off, think whole haul off and tear your jaw off. My life is far out, I got star clout. Every week, bring a different car out. Go to clubs and buy the bar out. You ain't a player, put that cigar out. Take that suit off before I shoot off and tear your roof off. Leave your clothes bloody red like the nose of Rudolph. I rock many stages and never got booed off. I might let this gap burst, put you in a big black hearse for that whack verse. You should have tried these double cats first, cause none of y'all niggas can fuck with me. And if your man wanna join, I got McGruff with me. We puff much, Izzy. I do shit that only tough men do. And them cats you with, fuck them too. I'll buck them too. Be careful what you rush into. You lame ass nigga, no dough. Always on a train ass nigga. Canal Street, 10 carat chain ass nigga. You got fucked up steak, you cupcake. How many dicks can your butt take? I ran through every bitch in my path. I was fucking chicks in the ass when I was 6 and a half. Now I'ma take you out your misery.
Right.
And after this, nigga, put you in a social study book. Cause you history. Yeah.
Yo, I'm gonna give you my math.
Alright.
I'm gonna give you my math.
Alright.
Well, I'm gonna give you my history.
That's one I'm not gonna play for my mom.
Yeah.
Adrian, I haven't heard this show in so long. Give me tape. Not this one.
Yo, I want y'all to check out
sorry,
you know,
Ava.
Two new singles coming out.
Yeah, we can play some right now.
Size them up. Ebonics.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, man. That's one of my favorite old school joints. So, that's what it is. So, you got the cards? What do you got?
We got results for one show and a card for another show.
Yeah, hold on a second. All right. So I guess we'll do that. We got results and another card, and I got a little bit of a twist on the music thing, so I'm going to just do my thing here. So we'll go. You ready?
Yep.
This is Japanese with Eric.
And this is Japanese with Eric for this week. And first we have a result from the NOAA show, which was 228-2012, 470 fans, super no vacancy. The first match, Gangba Harangi defeated Satoshi Kajiwara at 10 minutes and 1 second with a Shori Genba. In the second match, Super Crazy defeated Lance Bravado at 8:01 with a Super Latin Maestro. In the third match, Muhammad Yone and Taji Ishimori defeated Masaho Inoue and Harlem Bravado at 12:34 with the Revolution of Ishimori against Bravado. In a GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Title Skirmish, Ricky Marvin defeated Kataro Suzuki at 11:29 with the Santa Maria. The fifth match was Takashi Sugier and Nayamuchi Marufuji defeating Go Shizaki and Atsushi Aoki at 23-21. After an Olympic slam from Sugeria against Aoki. And in the main event, Takeshi Morishima, Jun Akima, Takuma Sano defeated Yoshihiro Takayama, Mayabak Taniguchi, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru at 16:43 after a backdrop off from Morishima against Kanemaru. And that was the result for that. For this is some matches announced for NOAH Great Voyage in Yokohama on March 18th. Mayabak Taniguchi will take on Kento Miyahara. Kensuke Sasaki will take on Muhammad Yone. In a GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match, Kentaro Suzuki and Atsushi Aoki will take on Super Crazy and Ricky Marvin. In a special tag match, Juan Akima and Akito Oshi Saito will take on Keiji Muto and Go Shizaki. And for the GHC Heavyweight title, Takashi Morishima will take on Takashi Sugiura.
Right.
And that's that.
And that's all of it?
Yep.
All right. Well, that was Japanese with Eric. Wait a minute.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Yes. That's right. There we go. With the awesome background music. And from that, where was I? I was talking about the CZW card. And what I left out was the six-man tag match with CZW Wired champ Jake Crist, AR Fox, and Chuck Taylor taking on Dave Crist and Philly's Most Wanted in Joker and the Black G's. And, well, I'll explain that in just a second, too, but listen, if there's any CZW fans out there that have pizza or water or all these other things that you would like to donate to the Black G's, then, you know, this is your time to do it. I got to tell you, fans, you're going to miss out if you miss this opportunity to donate your belongings to the Black G's. You're going to miss because come April, best of the best, you will not see Black G's in attendance. Tremendous best of the best lineup going, but Black G's has found something better to do that night. So if you guys got some stuff you want to make t-shirts, you want to make banners, and you want to make sure that you show him so he notices you in the crowd, you know, and you want to make yourself noticed to the Black G's, then your date, your way to do that is to show up on March 10th over there in Philadelphia. I think it's, I don't know where in Philly. I'll figure it out. MapQuest or fucking GPS or some bullshit. I'll get there. It's at a gym. You know what I mean?
Boyle's World Gym.
Right. And don't get crazy. Don't start going to the gym yourself. It's not going to help you. Just keep making them t-shirts. Keep making them banners. And donate your stuff to Black G's on March 10th. And, you know what I mean? He appreciates it. So, do that. So, but anyway, the thing that sticks out about this match that I found funny when they first booked it, because I didn't know the explanation, is, Chuck Taylor was on the other side in February. He was fighting with Dave Crist and Mr. Tofiga with his horrible feet. And he pretty much decided he just wanted to fight for the other team because apparently he hates Dave Crist. So he just said, I actually hate you. And then just went to the other team. So pretty comical. You go on the, the CZW site or the YouTube or whatever the case is, and You know, go catch that promo over there. It's pretty funny shit. I honestly wish they would film their motherfucking promos when there ain't a fucking introduction going on or fucking theme music. Because, I don't know, maybe that would come off better fucking audio-wise, like you fucking idiots. That building was so fucking big, you could have found somewhere that wasn't in earshot of the fucking speakers. But, no, it's okay. Just fucking, yo, Greg Excellent is the only smart motherfucker that hung out by the fucking the pond out back, and you could hear every word he said. But, you know, we'll just film that shit while there's an entrance happening that, you know, only lasts a couple minutes, but this is clearly the only couple minutes that we have to film a promo. Like, that's the only shit that really pissed me off about that promo and the majority of their fucking promos from this past month, because in February they just weren't thinking about making money at all. They were just thinking about, like, phoning in every fucking attempt at any entertainment that they did. So it was just like, you know, we have, like, fucking six people talking. Wait till the entrance hits, and then we're going to just start trying to talk over it. And we're not going to, like, close mic them. We're just going to have it where you can hear, like, half of it. And you can blast your speakers, but it sounds like there's a crowd in your fucking house just for you to hear somewhat of a whisper of the fucking guy who's actually cutting the promo. So, yeah. Big ups on that fucking production quality right there, ZZ Dub. But it actually, if you could filter through all of that, it was actually a fucking funny and entertaining promo. But yeah, that match is gonna be off the fucking chain, straight up. Like, all jokes aside, like that match is gonna be off the fucking chain. There's nothing but talent in that match. So
this whole show looks like it'd be some, you know, a really good show.
Yeah. Yeah. And this will be my first show to try out my new camera, so I'm pretty excited.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't use it at the other show?
I didn't have it yet. No.
Oh, okay.
No. I put my old camera back to fucking the car because the show was horrible and I hated the fucking lighting and all of that stuff. And, you know, that type of shit. But,
Hey, do you want to go over Best of the Best?
I'll throw up the, you know, the lineup they got.
Did you see the new entrant in there?
Last night they added Johnny Gargano.
Yep.
Yeah, Johnny Gargano, ACH, and if people have not seen this fucking dude, straight up, go search ACH versus AR Fox on YouTube, and when you see it on there, you'll know what the fuck I'm talking about. This dude is the truth. He's got tremendous amount of fucking talent, and he's another one of those guys that this crowd is going to like quite a bit, and you can't find a whole lot on him. I don't know who names these motherfuckers. ACH, I don't know what that is. I don't know what a Uha Nation is. I'm going to ask him next week. But some of these motherfuckers, they come in here, and they're not lacking in talent whatsoever, but their names, I don't know what the fuck, where do you get, so ACH, but yeah, check that dude out. Dude is unbelievably fucking talented, and man, I think he's going to tear it the fuck up. So you got the winner of the aerial assault match, which better be Uha Nation. You got Johnny Gargano returning from, you know, his different injuries and things like that that he's been going through since the January show that he wrestled in Evolve. So you got that. You got Sami Callihan, the junior heavyweight champion. You got Rich Swann. What more can you say? You got Chuck Taylor. You got Trent Seven. You got Willie Mack. Fucking tremendous fucking talent right there. AR Fox, Alex Colon, and K McKinnon. So whatever. But it's still shaping up. There's still more spots, and man, I'm telling you, this is a talented fucking lineup. And I'm looking forward to it very, very much so. That's the deal there. The other thing I wanted to get into is because I actually just finally got the chance to watch the Excellent Adventure show, the January show, I just got a chance to watch it the other day. I watched that shit the other day. So I kind of want to review that right quick. All right, the show started out. I'm not going to get into, ooh, fucking they came out in a genie costume. And who gives a shit about that? Wax returned to defeat DJ Hyde in a horrific fucking match. Wax isn't ready to get back in the fucking ring. It was fucking horrendous. There was no fucking reason in the world why he should be wrestling right now. See, like,
did
when Wax
run
first...
the ropes?
Oh, dude, it was fucking horrible.
Her whipping DJ into the ropes was fucking hilarious. I was dying laughing when I seen that.
Yeah,
was like,
dude. It was like a handshake with, like, more movement where the guy ran away from your handshake or some shit. It was fucking bad. So you understand, like, when Wax first came out, like, in you know, he first started wrestling, he was horrendous. Like, he couldn't wrestle worth a damn. He couldn't lock up. He couldn't fuck an Irish whip. He couldn't do a goddamn thing right. But he was crazy, so you could just hit him in the head with shit, and he'd bleed, and he's all about that. Well, he did that for a while, and then he kind of disappeared, and he started, like, filming ROH shows and stuff. Dude came back, and all of a sudden, like, he was landing crisp forearms, he was doing, like, you know, not, he wasn't fucking, you know, he wasn't a mat technician or no shit like that, but he came back, and he actually looked like he could fucking work a little bit, and I was just like, dude, I wonder if this dude was training at Ring of Honor or some shit like that or what he was doing. And I don't know what he was doing. I still don't. But he came back and he looked like he knew somewhat about how to work a match. He was never going to be, you know, the best technical wrestler in the business or anything. But he was actually doing shit that made fucking sense in the ring. And then when he went to Irish Whip, it didn't look like he just won a fucking contest to be in the ring. Like, it looked like he was actually doing that shit. You know what I mean? So that was what was going on for a while. And then, you know, over time, you know, it's just, he was doing okay. And I guess, you know, whatever happened, him and DJ don't get along, whatever the case is, he stopped getting booked. I don't know if there's anything else surrounding like that. I don't know him personally like that to, you know, say that, oh, well, this happened or that happened. I don't know him like that. I ain't trying to put no words in people's mouths. But he was, you know, out of the company, and as far as I know, out of the business for a while, just because no one else was, you know, he wasn't working anywhere else. And now he came back to this shit, and fuck, man, that was some bullshit. That was some bullshit. And it's funny because they more or less even played it like that. Like, yeah, DJ didn't like this guy, so Greg Excellence wishes you got to book this guy, even though you don't like him. And now you got to fight him. And yeah. And honestly, there's no fucking way. Now, if you brought a guy back like that and the fans were behind him like they were before, and he went out there and he put on a good match, it would be hard for fucking anybody to keep that guy out of the fucking company, because the fans would be like, great, he's back, he's over. Oh, they're doing it against DJ's will, blah, 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 which obviously doesn't work. But, you know, they're doing that thing, and then he came out and put on a solid performance. Well, the fans getting behind him would probably get him booked again. That shit. You ain't getting fucking booked. There's no fucking way. Like, if you're fucking lucky, they put you in some non-tournament shit in the fucking Tournament of Death, or as a fucking alternate, and hope fucking somebody calls the fuck off of that shit. Like, there is no fucking... It was fucking horrendous. Just horrible.
It was horrible.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, he looked so fucking out of shape. He looked horrible.
Yeah, it was bad. So, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck the deal is there. But so yeah, I what the fuck? But so the next match was Ryan McBride versus Derek Frazier. See, this all sounds like I'm just fucking hating this show, right? But it'll pick up. This I didn't give a fuck about. First off, the pairing I really don't care that much about. I don't completely dislike neither of these guys, but the fact that they went this route and then added Rebel to it makes me hate it. Just hate it. I don't like anything Rebel does. I don't like the dude. I don't like his face. I don't like his fucking mouth. I don't like nothing about him. And that's it. I don't think he's ever fucking contributed any. If he's contributed something backstage to help the company, fucking fantastic. Congratulations. But I've never liked a single second that he stood in the motherfucking ring. You know, the fact that, like, it helps carry on and continue and facilitate the racist bullshit that is in a good amount of these fucking pieces of shit that sit in the fucking crowd. And there was, like, months and months and months that, like, they were legitimately, like, he grabbed the mic. And he's supposed to be a heel because he's saying ignorant shit. But you get, like, fucking 10, 15 people, well, not even, more than that, they're popping for the fucking dude when he comes out. And then they're yelling shit like, say something racist. Like, that shit gets on my motherfucking nerves. Like, take that motherfucker, put his ass the fuck away. He couldn't make it in fucking anywhere else he fucking worked. He wasn't a fucking viable name any fucking where else. And now he's fucking 65 years old on the fucking indies getting over for saying racist shit. Like, that shit don't get over with me. You know what I mean? Figure something out to do that I give a fuck about, because that ain't it. So, that's that. AR Fox beat UHA Nation in a fucking awesome match. I mean, that was exactly why I'm talking about, why I like the fucking UHA Nation stuff, why I like the AR Fox stuff. These guys got fucking talent. They got incredible fucking athleticism. They go out there, they do some fucking moves. You know, it's that type of video game wrestling where, like, these guys come out there and they do shit that you don't think people could fucking do. And you're like, wow, that's some incredible shit, you know? And I was a fucking big fan of that match. I liked it. They've obviously wrestled each other a lot of times, so I don't know if I would consider this their best match, but it was fucking great. Azrael and Bandido retained the tag champions. The match with the Blackout was a no contest. This was, you know, when I read it originally off of just, like, the results, it was no different than what actually happened. And, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I really don't. Like, They keep putting this shit together and just like, all right, well, you know, they're feuding, but well, then these guys got the tag belts and then they're fighting them sometime, but they'll just go back to feuding each other by the end of it. Like, it's garbage. This whole fucking storyline, this whole shit that they fucking patched together makes me not give a fuck about. They have fucking three teams, and here's my fucking preview for next month, this month, actually. If you don't, you know, I mean, they could put on a great match. They really could. They're talent across the board for the most part. But you're talking about six people with two managers on one side, one manager on the other side. So now you're talking 6, 7, 8, 9. This fucking storyline has efficiently made me not give a shit about 9 people in the ring at one time. That's how good the booking is on this fucking storyline, that I don't give a shit about 9 people at once. Like, you just fill in the fucking ring with people that I don't give a fuck about, regardless of my feelings about me liking them as wrestlers or managers, valet, whatever the case is. You're doing shit with them that makes me not give a fuck. And I can't do it. So, that's that. Next matchup, Sami Callihan successfully defended his CZW Junior Heavyweight title against Rich Swann. This was fucking unbelievable. This match was fucking great. Can't say enough good about this show, or, you know, about this match. And, so funny what's going on right now. Wow. This is, to me, what interests me in wrestling. Obviously, I'm into deathmatch wrestling as well. But I'm into this type of shit. And for the wrestlers out there that shit on spots, Let me make something very, very clear. Every single fucking best of clip compilation, whatever the case is comprised of spots. Every fucking time that you hear about a match being unbelievable or a series of matches being unbelievable, there was a good amount of spots done in those matches. Look at Homicide versus Trent Acid. These were matches that started out sprint, fucking went spot, spot, fucking, you know, they worked their fucking ring shit, they worked everything that, you know, all the ring psychology went hand in hand with the spots. But it went fast. It went moving. It kept the fans interested. It didn't do that slow fucking headlock for a 20-minute bullshit. And then I'm a heel, so you're going to have to deal with it. Really? Well, you've already lost me. You, as a wrestler, only have fucking, I want to say 30 seconds. And if you go 30 seconds into a match and you haven't made a fucking point on why I should give a shit, I tune out. And it might be more than 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Yeah, I mean, like that type of thing. You only have so long before the fans tune out. Now, if you decide that you're just going to be a heel and you don't have to put shit in, and you're just going to work slow arm locks and headlocks and look at the fucking fans like, I don't got to do shit, well, then your match sucks. Then, at that point, your match is fucking finished. It's over. Just like as talented as Chris Hero is and stuff like that, when he was working his heel Chris Hero shit, it was garbage to me. It was one of the most fucking ridiculous things that I ever had to watch. And like, he would just do that shit. He would just sit with that fucking cravat bullshit on for fucking, on and off for fucking 20 minutes. And then look around and then do that shit again. And then look around and do that shit again. He turned face and he was doing fucking 25 moves in a match. What, you know, where do you think that shit comes off as a good match just because you're a heel at the point and that works because the fans hate it? Well, if the fans hate it because it's a shitty match, that doesn't make you a good heel, that makes it a shitty match. You know what I mean? Like, pace and the correct placement of spots, and again, I ain't a fucking wrestler, so that's on you to do, but as me as a fan, if I don't like what the fuck you're doing, I don't consider it a good match. I don't consider it something that appeals to me. Now, what Sammy and fucking Richie did out there was some shit that's a fucking highlight reel. That's some shit that you could fucking make a fucking video out of. You could put fucking music to that motherfucker, put it on YouTube, and motherfuckers will repost the shit out of it. You go through this fucking headlock fest bullshit, I don't know what fucking music you're going to put to that shit. You know, fucking some old lullaby shit or something, because I ain't fucking interested, dude. I'm tired. I'm fucking just like, okay, let's fucking get it over. Like, what the fuck? So, I'm not doing it. That's just, it's not going to work. That's why I huge credit to these guys for putting on the match they did. All right. Can't say enough about it. Check this fucking DVD out. Go Smart Mark. Or not Smart Mark. They don't even Smart Mark anymore, right?
CZW
Wrestling and then find out where the fuck. I don't know. They might distribute it at Smart Mark. I don't fucking know. But figure out where to get that motherfucking DVD at and go get that bitch, because shit like that match is fucking well worth it. Ooh-ha, and fucking AR Fox tore it up. Next matchup is another reason to get that DVD. And that's Greg Excellent taking on Mia Yim in their return match. And another great, great fucking match. I mean, you know, not to spoil a whole bunch of shit, but, you know, back and forth match, a lot of fucking hitting and just good exchanges. Fucking Mia Yim pulling a Yoshi Tonic off the top on fucking Greg. Yeah, I mean, like a lot of shit that you got to check it out. I mean, just good stuff, and I'm really looking forward to this TLC match. So, coming off of that, they did a whole spot thing with it was like Danny Havoc was toasting the Asylum Arena with Homicide, Nick Burke, Adam Flash, Messiah, Nate Webb, and the Blue Meanie, and then Gulak came out and that whole thing. And that more or less led into Drew Gulak versus Matt Tremont, which, you know, it was all right. I wasn't really that big of a fan of it. It was all right. Next matchup, you had fucking, in a Philly street fight, Eddie Kingston versus Joker. Now, here's where you're talking hard-hitting shit. Two guys beating the shit out of each other and making that shit count. And they just, this is a strong style fucking battle at its finest. You go and you watch this fucking match. If you want hard-hitting, you get this fucking DVD for that shit. You want fucking fast-moving fucking, you know, spots and just continuing excitement, you get it for that Sammy Ritchie match. You want some deathmatch shit, well, then you got not your next match, but the one after. But, yeah, that was off the hook, man. That was a good fucking, that was the shit, Eddie and Joker. Next up, you had Devin Moore, Adam Cole. It was all right. It didn't really do a whole shitload for me. It was all right. Wasn't terrible. Wasn't great. You know, a whole lot of, you know, gimmicky storyline bullshit with the trying to hit with the belt and then, you know, hit the belt. And it was all right. Next matchup was the main event. John Zandig, DJ Hyde. They used like 7 fucking panes of glass on this bitch. You know? They did their fucking thing, and you know, they good brawl. They went back and forth, 7 fucking panes of glass. You like blood, you like glass. I mean, it delivers. Like I mentioned on just reading it off paper, DJ got the fucking roll up victory in a death match that used 7 panes of glass, which was a terrible finish. And then you add DJ take the biggest bump of the match after the match with a, you know, toss to the outside through the chairs and glass and all of that stuff. So, you know, got all that stuff. And that's the birthday boy today. So, yeah, shout out. Happy birthday, DJ.
DJ.
Yeah. So, yeah,
wow.
It just overall, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, when you put all of that together, when you put that whole fucking show together, that's a goddamn good show. That's entertainment for very, very many different reasons, and every, you know, it has every reason for people to be entertained in that. So, yeah, that's what the fuck, you know, they should have been doing in February, and that's what the fuck they need to be doing in March. They need to be doing a lot of shit like that. Big shout out to that fucking show. I liked it. What else do we got?
Oh, we got Ring of Honor this weekend.
Yeah, we do. That Briscoe promo. Yeah, man.
The card. Can we go over the card?
Yeah, why not?
All right, so it's $9.99.
I know
that ball is going to
whoop somebody. Hey.
So it's Sunday at 4 o'clock, $9.99. Go Fight Live. TV. I'll just go down. I'll go up the list. You know, from first match announced the main event. Special attraction match: the Notorious 187 Homicide versus the Prodigy Mike Bennett with Brutal Bob and Maria Kanellis.
All right.
So this would be good. I think that's Homicide's return to Ring of Honor, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I hope he kills that Prodigy kid. I hate that fucking kid.
Glory by Honor X Tag Team Rematch, or Glory by Honor 10 Tag Team Rematch. Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team, Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, take on the team of the All Night Express of Rhett Titus and Kenny King. Should be good. Another special. There's a lot of tag team matches on this show, I noticed. You know, reading about these matches. Special attraction tag team match. The Amazing Red returning to Ring of Honor and teaming with TJ Perkins.
TJ Perkins.
to take on the team of Unbreakable Michael Elginus. And Roderick Strong. How are you going to do that one? With Truth Martini.
Truth
No disqualification grudge match. Jimmy Jacobs.
Yeah.
Takes on wrestling's worst nightmare, Kevin Steen. Ring of Honor World
dancing,
Television Championship.
Dancing's worst nightmare, Chaz Bono.
Kevin Steen versus Chaz Bono. Dream match. Ring of Honor World Television Championship online as Jay Lethal defends against the dominant male Tommaso Ciampa with the Embassy. I'm thinking Tommaso goes over in this match and wins the belt.
Uh-oh. He's against who?
He's been Lethal.
Oh, that's like the what the fuck is it, a TV title or
Wired the World Television
TV
title.
Television, okay.
Yeah, the Wired TV, yeah. They don't even have a Wired television anymore.
Well, it's a Go Fight title.
Yeah, the Go Fight title. Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship match as the Briscoes, Jay and Mark, take on the Young Bucks. Young Buck ass.
Yeah.
And in the main event, a tag team match. Ring of Honor World Champion Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly versus Die Hard Eddie Edwards and Adam Cole.
Davey Richards, Kyle O'Reilly. Cole.
About Eddie Edwards.
Eddie Edwards. You got time for that. Yeah, man.
So that's the Ring of Honor show.
It sure is.
We have a bunch of more shit to talk about. I know that I finally got the chew. Oh, by the way, WWE news here, real quick. So it looks like the new line of WWE kayfabe shirts that debuted last week could have a short shelf life. The shirts, which feature terms like heel, jobber, I'm so over, and more, are reportedly not popular with many veterans and other wrestlers within the company. Word is that they do not like the industry terms being used for such commercial purposes.
Not only that, they're biting on Yolanda's shit, because Yolanda had I Heart Heels shirts, and she had all those type of things in the Future Endeavor shirts before they put them out to WWE. And all of a sudden, motherfuckers is popping up with it. So I hope they do ban every one of them gimmick infringing motherfuckers. Because as gimmick tees, you go check them out. You want original shit. You know, that's what it is. Big shout out to her and all of that thing. The other thing I was going to say, too, is you're talking WWE and Ring of Honor and stuff like that. From what I heard, the Briscoes and Adam Cole were actually going to be signed to the WWE, and Ring of Honor put the fucking block on it.
Yeah, it's all over the news. It's all over the web now. You're the first person who told me, and I was like, oh, I did some research, and I found it too. So I'm surprised by that.
Ass.
You know, WES.
Gonna whoop Kyrie Silken
ass. You might like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Evan Bourne's WWE wellness suspension is set to officially end on March 17th.
That's cool. You think he'll fucking perform on WrestleMania?
I don't fucking think so.
I don't think so either. Unless they run a Money in the Bank, and honestly, I don't think they're running a Money in the Bank because I think they announced that shit for July in Arizona. And I could be wrong on the date, but I believe it's July in Arizona. It was originally slated to be in Vegas, and they switched the venue to Arizona. And being they're doing another one of these big fucking horrible fucking huge Money in the Bank pay-per-views, I think they might fucking scrap that match off the WrestleMania card, which honestly I think is a terrible idea. I think they should scrap that pay-per-view, not the fucking match on WrestleMania. And, I just think it would come off far better. I think it's a great fucking, spot fest to put into the WrestleMania card. It keeps the fans on their feet and all excited and gets them all hyped up for the rest of the show. But, they choose not to do it, and I think if you don't put on one of those matches, then you're definitely not going to see Evan Bourne on the fucking WrestleMania card. That's just my opinion, honestly. I think he's definitely going to be wearing one of those Future Endeavor shirts and in no time, because after Mania, they're supposed to do a whole shitload of cuts, and then he'll be on the Indies, and then he can get a real fucking Future Endeavor shirt from Yolanda.
And buy it.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, do you want to go over the PWS show? Because I have the card.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we kind of ran across that real quick with Brett. But,
All right, so it's PWS Supercard 2012, Friday, March 9th.
You said they had Marty
Jannetty
on there. I didn't know they had Marty Jannetty on there. That's horrible.
Is he working the show? I don't think he's working.
I don't know. He mentioned Marty Jannetty, so that's funny.
I think he's doing
the guy
kind of
wants to
thing.
Kill me, so that's fine.
Yeah, I think he's
I still wish I could get there.
Supercard 2012, 275 East Midland Avenue in Rahway. 6 p.m. doors open, 8 p.m. bell time. 2 fucking hours worth of fucking waiting. How about that?
Wait, what?
Yes, the doors open at 6. The bell time is at 8.
Oh, that's good signing. That's because, like, they'll open and they'll do a signing with the fucking Power of the Pain and motherfucking Sid Vicious.
Psycho Sid.
Psycho City.
Matt Hardy.
Godfather. they got a lot of these cats in there. So, yeah.
Abdul the Butcher.
Abdul the Butcher. Yep. Matt Hardy.
Cole Cabana.
Cole Cabana.
All right, PWS Championship match. Sammy Callahan defends the belt against Colt Cabana.
Good stuff. Should be highly entertaining.
Special attraction match, Cycle Sid versus Matt Hardy.
That should be horrific.
Yeah. Dream Fight 1, Davey Richards versus Dan Moff.
There should be no selling in that match.
The Necro Butcher versus the Sheik with Abdullah the Butcher.
I don't know who the fuck the Sheik is.
Anthony Nice defends the PWS Tri-State.
The Sheik sounds familiar. I mean, it rings a bell. I mean, I don't know, man. Is it this guy?
Fucking bullshit!
No, that would be the Iron Sheik.
Oh, well, I thought you just got lazy and stopped using the iron. I don't know, dude.
Or what the fuck would he get lazy?
Hey, I'm talking. Don't fucking interrupt me.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Anthony Nice will defend the PWS Tri-State title against Alex Reynolds.
All right.
In a PWS tag team title match, the Lone Rangers with Sam Roberts will take on the Powers of Pain.
All right.
In a suicidal six-way match for the number one contendership for the Tri-State title, Amazing Red will take on AR Fox, Brian XL, Devin Moore, Gran Akuma, and Shima Zion.
That should be fucking awesome.
Right. Strong Style Showdown. Eddie Kingston will take on Kevin Matthews.
That should be good, too. Hopefully. I don't know what Kevin Matthews' work is like these days, either, though, because he was actually kind of fucking boring to me the last time I seen him. And he's got, like, a huge ego on him, but, you know, Eddie's the type of guy that can beat his ass if need be, and I don't think they're in, and, you know, I don't know. I think they're okay with each other. I'm not saying that they got beef or nothing, but just saying, like, you know, the dude doesn't really interest me, but Eddie does, so we'll hope it goes well.
In a women's triple threat match, Brittany Savage will take on Rebby Sky and Spyra and Dover.
Matt Hardy girlfriend.
In a zero gravity battle, I guess the gravity will be turned off for this.
Awesome. They do that in Teddy Hart matches. They bring in fucking hats with gimmicks, and they have moon boots, and then they raise the platform every time you Twitter on your phone, and then it's anti-gravity if you press 3 on your phone on, you know, when you hear the right sound, and then you press 3 on your Twitter through the phone, and then they take away the gravity. That's what happens. So it's Teddy versus who?
No, it's actually Brett Gaika taking on CJ Esparza.
I don't know who the fuck those people are.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that's that for the PWS. It also, plus more, including Hurricane John Walters.
Ah, okay.
That's that. And
yeah,
I think they announced another match. They announced another match, I'm pretty sure. Since I got, I don't know why the fuck, I put it on the card yesterday, and I think they announced another match. Let me find out real quick.
Let me find out.
Matt Hardy looks fucking ridiculous. They have a picture of...
Let me find out.
Let me find... Oh, yeah, Papa Shango will be there as well, the Godfather. Same
bullshit.
Yeah.
Papa Shango's... Godfather.
Halfway
through the show.
Okay, no, they haven't announced any other matches. Wow, right, the Shockmaster's
cool.
going to be there.
So
Ox Baker's gonna be there.
Ox Baker. Pretty cool.
I have the Chikara results as well.
Oh, fantastic. Before that, I'm gonna play this Japanese dude doing a fucking Super Mario beatbox I thought was off the hook. So we'll listen to that. It's like 2 minutes and then we'll hit the rest of this stuff. Check it.
Now going to be Jerry Lynn versus Dan Moff.
Oh, well, now there will be more selling.
Okay. And they're also adding Samurai Delphi.
Quick change to the selling in the match. They've now added selling to the match.
Okay. And they also added Samurai Del Sol to the best of the light heavyweights with Amazing Red Air, Fox, Brian XL, Devin Morgan, Akuma, and Shima Zion.
Who did they take out?
They just added somebody. They kept everybody, but they added somebody.
I feel like they took somebody out.
Nope, they added somebody.
Alright.
Because it was six people and now it's seven. And Necro Butcher will now be coming out with Ox Baker.
Yeah, well, that's only right.
Right. Front row is all sold out. Ringside row two is sold out. Ringside row three is sold out. And the only tickets is general admission.
Right.
For the show. So, yeah. But that's that. We got Chikara results to go over. I'm getting messages. Okay. Chikara, the Long Island show, 26th of...
The what?
12. It's called Caught in the Spider's Den in Long Island.
Well, we're not going to get all tied down on what they're calling their shows or naming their wrestlers.
Okay.
We're just going to go,
First match, Cobalt defeated Francis K. Stevens by pinfall with the Demon's Toilet.
You see what I mean? But I don't even know what the fuck you just said, and I just know that somebody won with the Demon's Toilet, and I. Oh.
The shit is bananas! Bananas!
Go ahead.
Second match, 3.0 with Scott Parker and Shane Matthews defeated the Throwbacks of Dasher Hatfield and Mr. Touchdown by pinfall when Matthews pinned Mr. Touchdown with a spear.
This happens.
Ophidian defeated Archibald Peck with Veronica by pinfall with an inside cradle. Great Akuma defeated Chuck Taylor by pinfall with a roll-up using the tights for leverage. After the match, Icarus and Chuck Taylor laid out Akuma.
Okay.
Intermission. Then there was intermission. And then the Queen of Wrestling, Sarah Del Rey.
I'm interested in what happened during intermission.
Nothing. There was an intermission.
Oh, I was looking forward to that.
Went to the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah. The Queen of Wrestling, Sarah Del Rey, defeated Seth Terrain by pinfall with the Royal Butterfly.
That's the one that beat the ice cream, right? The night before? Beat the ice cream addiction? That's all right. But she couldn't beat that Sarah Del Rey, right? Yeah, I mean, that's a good lesson in life. You can beat ice cream, but you can't beat Sarah.
That's pretty funny, though. Ultramanus Black defeated Colt.
Just because you put down the ice cream doesn't mean you can beat Sarah Del Rey.
That's
a good lesson in life. You'd be like, listen, you're on your way. You're not quite there yet, though. Okay, go ahead. What?
Ultramanus Black defeated Boom Boom Cabana by pinfall with a roll-up after moving out of the way of Cabana's flying ass.
They moved from his flying ass.
Right.
Huh. All right.
8-man tag, Lightning, Mike Quackenbush, Jigsaw, Fire Ant, and Soldier Ant took on the BDK of Tim Dons, Jacob Hammonheimer, and the Bateria of Kodama and Oberyn. Went to no contest after 5 masked assailants, along with someone dressed up like Green Ant, ran in and brutally beat down the babyface team, leaving them laying.
Absolutely not.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
What the fuck? So wait, a whole shitload of people in masks got jumped by a whole shitload more people in masks?
No, it was Quack and Jig. Yeah, of course.
Oh.
Well, they're saying it was Ring of Honor guys under masks.
Uh-oh. What are they going to name them? I think they need like a cupcake team. They got ice cream
what
covered.
What the fuck? That makes no sense.
No, they have ice cream covered.
Team?
Why don't they have cupcakes?
Oh, come
you know
on.
You know what I mean?
Seriously.
Like, there's a cupcake store right up the street. I actually have a closer cupcake store to my house than I do have an ice cream store. I'm just saying that there's a new wave of things going. There's a lot of the, you know, the, it's a movement. And if you got people dressed as ice cream, you got like five people without gimmicks. Make them cupcakes, you know? They could be all sorts of flavors and colors and shit. You know what I mean? I don't see why not. It's a whole tray of cupcakes
oh
the way I see it. No?
Oh, my gosh.
Shit.
All right. Main event time.
I'm not a booker.
Chicago Grand
Leave me
Championship
alone.
Versus... What?
I'm not a booker. Leave me alone, you know? I can't create gimmicks like Chikara does.
Yeah.
Talent.
Did you know that Jeff Jarrett holds a AAA title?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Chikara Grand Championship versus career match. The War King, Eddie Kingston, defeated Vin Gerard by pinfall.
That's a new joint?
Yeah, nice call himself
the War King.
King.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Defeated Vin Gerard by pinfall to retain the title after two back fists to the future. With the loss, Gerard's career in Chikara is over.
Oh, so he doesn't work for Chikara anymore? Wait, my bad. He's a cupcake. There you go. Cupcake one. You might not see him again, but he's hanging around. He just circled the block with a new costume, and he wants another Snickers bar. That's all.
Make sure you call me off the off air. Call me off after the show's over.
Okay.
Just make sure you do. Just don't forget.
Whatever. All right.
There's something I had talked about.
I feel like I just
nothing too serious.
Call down to the principal.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, we're gonna
Jake
have to see
back to the principal's
this.
Office.
After this, we're gonna have to talk off air. Okay. Thanks. Anyway, what you were saying? That was
any. That was it. That's the show.
That's Chikara with Eric.
Dun, dun, dun.
And my douchebag comments. Yay. Fantastic. Chikara must love me. If they ever heard my commentary on their cards, I really think that they would hire me. I think I'd be their new announcer.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I could just see me ringside and be like, oh, here comes some shitty gimmick in a costume.
And they'd be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? You're not supposed to curse.
And I'd say, listen, you just cursed more than I did. Excuse me, sorry, I have a job to do.
Hey, real quick.
Wait a minute.
Extreme Reunion is happening.
Hold on. That was an arm drag. Go ahead.
Extreme Reunion is happening April 28, 2012 in Northeast Philly. You going to be there? It's going to have guys like the franchise, Shane Douglas, Raven, Sabu, Al Snow, Justin Credible, Rhino, Jerry Lynn, the Blue Meanie, the Full-Blooded Italians of Little Guido, Tony Mamaluke, and Tracy Smothers, the original gangsters, New Jack and Mustafa, Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney, C.W. Anderson, PG-13, and more to be announced. You going to be there, Jay?
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together, like my nuts.
No, I will not.
Are you sure?
Fuck that show. Fuck every bit of that show. I hope fucking three fans in attendance get AIDS that night. I hope they all have on ECW shirts. And I hope they get fucking 12 autographs before they get AIDS, and they somehow link that shit to the AIDS they got from the bitch that hooked up with them because they had autographs.
Alrighty. Oh my
gosh. Fucking hate that shit. Fuck that shit. And New Jack has put out there that his match is going to be the most talked about, this and that, so maybe he's going to stab another untalented fucking wrestler in the ring. I don't give a shit. I'll watch it on YouTube.
Or maybe he'll be at Brian Knobs.
Thanks. Nice. He won't be there. So yeah, that's that. I'm pretty much done. I don't know what you got, but
I got all my notes. I went through all my notes tonight.
Excellent. I think we did a solid fucking show. We're about to go off alive, and I figure it's best that we just go off all together. And obviously, you know, I'm not going to wrap it up fast enough, so it might be like a 3-second fucking over. But, I guess we'll wrap it up. Next week we're going to have Wuha Nation. We'll be on fucking representing. We'll be, fucking one more week, and then we got CCW, and I'm hyped for that shit. So definitely check us the fuck out next Thursday, motherfuckers. For Eric Williams, I am Jake Pat Morris. Peace.
You're all a bunch of dumb cunts.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, depending on what this soundbite is meant for, Yakuza Kick Fucking Radio, hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, and but then he popped back in like he's the Andy Sumner, the hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with his three questions. So, tune in next time, because fucking, Yakuza Kick Radio, something.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.